Steve, thanks. Hi, it's us. It's Bill and Wendy, and it's Tuesday, and we're glad you're listening. 312-981-7200 if you want to talk to us.
We going to talk about China Grove?
Yeah, do you want to? We can, sure.
Ain't talking about China Grove.
I like this new look that you're sporting for people
who can't.
Fun
of me?
No. Oh, no. All I said was I like it.
I never know when to take you seriously.
There was no fun being made.
I think you look great today, Wendy.
This is a good look for you.
All right. What do you want? I still owe you $2 for the Powerball.
Right.
Is it up to $4 now today?
No, it's just $2. We're fine. We have until tomorrow. I'm not worried about that. But for people who can't see Wendy, I know that you can see us online. If you're watching the show on the internet,
don't
you can
look,
see it.
Because sometimes I pick my nose or something, and mm-hmm. I forget that the cameras are on. That's why we got into radio.
Mm-hmm. So you could pick your nose.
Usually people don't see you picking your nose.
Right.
And I'm kidding, by the way.
That would be a great show, though, to just have celebrities come in and do that. I bet that would be highly rated.
Pick your poison.
They could call it that. So explain the look to people who cannot see you. Will this be an everyday thing, or is this just for the day?
No, it was cold yesterday, and it's colder today. There's a bit of a wind chill. What are we at, Steve? It's like a negatory, isn't it?
15 below wind chill.
It's really ugly outside.
So, you know, you lose all your heat from your head.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the hot air comes out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a hat on, and I just have a side long braid with my fake hooker hair, so it would add some oomph to it. Little extension that goes in the hair.
Now, can I describe it a little bit, and you'll think I'm making fun, but I'm not making fun? It looks like, you know, Edge from U2. Like, if his sister came by, I would expect Edge's sister to look like the way you look right now.
Kevin, get me an effects pedal. Everything I say will be through an effects pedal. Haunting.
I mean that as a compliment. I think Edge would have a very pretty sister. He may. I don't know if he does or he doesn't.
What would her name be?
I don't think there's any girls' names that rhyme with Edge.
How about Middle?
Right, that'll be it. His sister Middle. You look like
Nucleus.
Right.
Center.
Yeah, any of those. Any of those. Darlene. I don't know what her name would be, but if Edge has a sister, I imagine her to look a lot like you look today.
Yeah, it's I know it looks a little sloppy, but I did the makeup, and I have earrings on, but you know, it's just when guys sometimes don't wash their hair, they'll put a baseball cap on, although you just wear a baseball cap.
I wash my hair sometimes with the baseball cap on. it's on, I might as well wash my hair.
Silkwood
now,
shower.
Do you rinse and repeat when you have your cap on?
You have to repeat, Steve.
Remember our old slogan on our old show?
Listen, rinse, repeat.
We should get that back.
That was what we said back then. My guess is nobody will mess with you when you're dressed like this. That you look like if you were in a situation where somebody might mess with you, I would take a look and go, not her. No.
Makes me think of who's the girl with the patch from Lisa Left Eye Lopes?
Yeah, that's Lopez.
Is it Lopez?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Yeah.
That's who I feel like today.
Yeah, why not?
I need a patch though.
Yeah, can we get Wendy a patch, Kevin?
Yeah, it's my desk. I'll go get it.
I watched Mad Max Fury Road last night.
Was that the new one?
Yes, I saw that last night, and you look like somebody who Mad Max would even go. I'm not gonna. You have the right of way.
Wow, that's cold.
That says a lot. Yes, it does, Wendy Left Eye Lopez. on a day like today, I'm reminded very much of when I'd go to school. Kevin even said this. I usually wear tennis shoes to work. Normally, I'll wear tennis shoes. But on a day like today, I'm wearing boots, or as we call them when I was in school, my brother and I called these Tommy shoes because there was a kid in our neighborhood named Tommy who always wore shoes like this. So this kind of boot that I'm wearing is called a Tommy shoe. Can you see that?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Those are like adult boots.
Adult boots?
Yeah.
They're rated X?
Yeah. And I had snow all over them, and I was reminded, and this was such a miserable thing for me when I was a kid, and I had forgotten about it until Kevin said today, wow, you've got a lot of snow on you, because I did when I came in. Did you ever have this happen? You would go into school, this sort of shoe for some reason, or boot, snow kind of clogs up on the bottom of it, and
look
it stays
at the bottom.
Frozen.
You've got a waffle sole.
I know it does. I know. But I would bring them in, and it was all frozen to the bottom. And then as the day progressed, it would melt little by little by little. And then under my desk was like a small retention pond of water.
Well, it worked out perfectly because you went to a Catholic school, and a lot of times the nuns didn't let you go to the bathroom.
Right.
So it just looked like any other kid.
Right. We did have, now that I think about it, there were a number of kids that wet their pants with some regularity.
That's what you told me, and you wouldn't want to be that kid.
No.
Because you still remember that kid's name or those kids.
I could list for you every kid in my grade school that ever wet their pants. I could tell you the year they did it and their names and where they sat. I don't know why for some reason in my head, that just always stays with me.
Poor kids.
Isn't that terrible? Not you. You never did, right?
I never wet my pants at school.
Never at school? You would hope not.
Other places, but not at school.
Right, that was sacred.
My wet my pants story was, and it's a terrible tale of woe. Should we take a break?
Yeah.
It's really...
Can you just say how old you were?
Maybe 10.
10? All right.
Maybe 12.
All right, that's coming up. Was it this time of year? Because it'll freeze.
No, it was summer, and it was just a terrible tale.
Yeah, all right. That story's coming up. Wake your kids. Let them know that the story's about to happen. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to jump in. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I'm going to go see Brittany and Elliot tonight. They're coming to beautiful downtown LaGrange.
Are they? How come?
They're going to Adele's Front Room, where my son Michael does some gigging occasionally. They have really awesome food, and it's a nice little comfortable place. And I believe Brittany and Elliot are going to be there between 6 and 8 tonight taping.
That'll be fun.
I'm going to go say hi to Brittany, not Elliot.
Just Brittany.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm not going to say hi to Elliot.
Create a wedge of distrust between them.
I don't know him.
No?
Maybe I'll get to know him.
I don't think you can get to know that guy. I don't think you can.
All right. We were talking about school, and I never remember a kid having to wet their pants in school because the teacher wouldn't let him go to the bathroom.
It happened in our school once every couple of months.
Honestly, that frequently?
It was amazing how often it happened.
I know that a lot of kids use, can I go to the bathroom, teach, for avoidance.
Sure.
But wouldn't you rather err on the side of caution?
Every time. If I was a teacher, there would never be more than 3 kids in my class. Every kid would be in the bathroom. I would believe, like, no matter what they would do, I would just go, why don't you just go to the bathroom and sort things out?
And that would be the case if you'd let them go all the time.
Right, I know.
It's their own fault, you know?
I know. Well, I can't believe, like you know this about me, I could go days without going to the bathroom.
You do go days without going to the bathroom.
I do. And in school, I wouldn't go to a bathroom in a school. I just wouldn't. I never did.
You don't go here.
Nope. Mm-mm. Home is the only place. Sometimes if I'm out of town, like when I was in California, I flew in, went to the bathroom, and flew back to California.
Boy, was your bladder tired.
Yes, it was.
And stretched out.
Yeah, it was.
All right, so the one time I remember wetting my pants as a kid, and I've told the story before, and I was telling you off the air, we did not have a dysfunctional family. Our family was just weird.
Oh, all right.
My dad, he died when I was 10, so this had to have been obviously before he died. So yeah. I was under 10.
Uh-huh.
And my dad would have the Snyder whistle, where it would just be... No, it was just kind of...
And this was used outside,
I hope? Like if we were out playing, you know, we always talk about kids are out playing all day.
Right.
He would do the... It had like kind of a
fly fading whistle?
Out. It kind of sounded like that, but it was really loud. And he would give you 3 whistles. And if you didn't make it home on the 3rd whistle...
What would happen?
He would drive around in the old mint green Rambler station wagon.
Yeah.
And he had a British... horn on it, like a British
Seriously?
Police horn.
Wow.
Kevin, do you have anything that resembles it? Let me hear what you have.
That's not the British horn.
No,
that's
you know what
US.
I'm talking about, though? It's
like that? Oh, yeah, sure.
So if you heard that, you
could get that here in the States?
I don't know where my dad got half these things. He had like one of those spotlights on the side of the car that a police officer would have back in the day.
That's impressive.
I don't know what. He was a civil defense director in Brookfield,
right. so
I think he wanted to, you know, flash up his
sure.
car a little bit.
Yeah.
He didn't have the rims that spin backwards. He had a British horn and a giant light.
Now, you said you got 3 whistles. What was the time interval between the first and the third to get you home safely?
He was a much more patient parent than I am. He'd give you a whistle, and then you knew to get home. He'd give you maybe, you know, 10 minutes.
Oh, that's fair.
Maybe 5.
It's just impressive to me that no matter where you were in the neighborhood, you could hear that whistle. That's impressive.
It was pretty loud.
Yeah.
So there was one time that I was hanging out at the Doovy's house, and they had they had all boys, but yeah. I was a tomboy.
The Doovy brothers?
Yes. And they had a Doovy dinner bell. You'd think I'm making this up.
Wow.
You'd hear that and you'd go, oh, I wonder what the Doobies are having for dinner. And then you'd hear the whistle of my dad.
Yeah.
But if you heard the wee-oo, wee-oo, you knew you were in trouble.
It was Scotland Yard.
Exactly. And there were two times I heard that. One is I was just, we were playing, you know, I don't even know, some kind of, I think we were on mini bikes that day.
Yeah.
And so I didn't really hear my dad's whistle. And all of a sudden I heard the wee-oo, wee-oo. And I'm like, oh, man, I am in trouble. So I was wearing my Peter Max gym shoes that
nice.
I speak of often.
Nice.
I loved them. They were very psychedelic, mm-hmm. as Peter Max, his artwork was.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost looked like a Converse Chuck Taylor low top.
Yeah.
But then where the sole was, like the lip of the shoe, was all teeth.
Oh.
It was just so cool.
Sure.
So I'm wearing these. I'm feeling really cool. I'm hanging with the boys, playing stuff and doing mini bikes. And I start running home. And right in front of the artist's house, they had paved a brand new sidewalk,
yeah.
which I didn't really get until I was running to get home and my feet were like four steps into the fresh cement.
Oh, no.
And at that point, I don't know if it's that I really had to go to the bathroom or I knew I ruined my Peter Max gym shoes. I heard the Scotland Yard whistle and I knew I was going to be in trouble. But that's
everything bad at
everything
once.
Everything happened at once.
And you got...
I wet my pants.
You wet your pants because of that.
And
oh,
then I got
no.
home and I didn't want to tell my mom that I ruined my shoes in the cement. Plus, I didn't want to get, you know, I didn't want the neighborhood doing a whodunit and figuring out who
right.
did it, who was the culprit,
right.
who has fresh cement on their new Peter Max shoes. So I hid them back by the garbage can in our backyard. And had I told my mom, perhaps she could have hosed them off.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't tell anyone and they were like cement shoes and I never got to wear them again.
This is the saddest story I've heard in years.
I told you.
This is a terrible story.
Tale of woe.
Well, it is a tale of woe. I can't go on. I'm done for the day. It's awful. Are those shoes still there? If you were to drive past them today?
And I looked on eBay, and they're going for like $5,000.
Is that? That's even sadder.
I know.
You just made a sad story even sadder.
I know. But when I win the Powerball.
Yeah, then everything will balance out.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
It's tomorrow, Bill.
I know. All right, some news is coming your way in just a little bit, and then we have a very big show for you, so stay where you are. It's us, it's Bill and Wendy, and it's WGN.
I have gotten some texts corroborating a crazy family whistle to get the kids home.
Your dad would do what you referred to as the Snyder whistle. Evidently, he patented this whistle.
It would just go down, it kind of like one of those, whatever.
Like a slide whistle?
Yeah.
So it would start out very loudly and high-pitched and then get deeper? Is that what it was?
No, it would just fade out. I don't know how he did it, really, because when I can whistle very loudly with the fingers,
yeah,
you know?
Like the taxi cab whistle, traditional, yeah.
But his went down, like it faded out. I don't know if he had a fader. He had an effects pedal.
Probably had
an effects pedal
with him.
But he would whistle three times, and if you didn't come home by the time that third whistle happened, he would then drive around in his old mint green Rambler station wagon.
Cool.
With the... Scotland Yard, wee-oo.
He had to have had that custom made, right? I don't
know.
That
there
doesn't
was
come
no
standard
internet.
With a car.
Oh, it was put on after.
It was?
Yeah. But, I mean, there was no internet to go buy this stuff, so I don't know where he got it.
Somewhere in Europe.
I don't know.
That's so strange.
But 865 says, I grew up in Gurnee and my dad had the whistle too. First whistle, we started walking home. Second whistle, we started running. Third, we got scared because we knew when we were getting home, we'll probably be in trouble. LOL, great memories. And 312 says, Adam's grandmother used to call us home with a bugle.
How about that? How could that go more than a block? Like, that's the longest, right? You couldn't, what kind of a noise could you possibly emit that would go more than a block?
No, we had.
Really?
Well, I mean, like, if you count, like, a four-sided square block,
yeah.
we probably played within there. There's four streets.
Yeah.
And we
could hear it no matter where you were within that area.
Most of the time.
That's amazing.
And we grew up by a park, so if we were in the park, it wasn't that far from my house. 262 said, my wife's father would call his kids home from playing with a large handbell.
Really? like the kind of teacher would have in the like the 1880s, where you would just ring that like a ding 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 ding, like that kind of bell.
Yeah. Well, the Doobie dinner bell, I think, was just a triangle.
Oh.
And yeah. You could hear it. We had a lot of fun in our family growing up.
I don't know if anyone by us had anything like that. I never.
You would just come home when you came home?
Yeah. Some kids never came home. Isn't that sad?
Yes.
That's awful. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll check in with Bridget Carey. We did not get to talk to Bridget last week. She was very busy at the Consumer Electronics Show. So we'll get an update from her and find out what's going on in the tech world. That happens next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's a Tech Tuesday, and we did not talk to Bridget Carey last week. We were talking to our friend from Apt Electronics,
right,
Josh.
Yep.
And we found out all about the Consumer Electronics Show. Although, Bridget, am I not supposed to say Consumer Electronics Show? Am I just supposed to say CES?
You can do what you want, girl. Like
yep. Free reign. Go nuts, Wendy.
Well, we heard a lot about...
Yeah, so... I know, the organization now just goes by the acronym, but that's how people know it, because it was formerly known as the Consumer Electronics Show.
All right, well, thank you for clarifying that. And when we were getting our update, our daily updates, virtual reality was pretty much key. That's the thing that has changed that everybody's going to want. And is that what you took away from CES?
You know, there were some major themes, and virtual reality was a big one, because you see everyone's talking about how 2016 is going to be the year of VR, when you have all these game systems coming out, like Oculus, which is owned by Facebook. There's PlayStation's VR, and there's one called HTC Vive. That one isn't as popular in the mainstream, like, you know, you don't recognize the name, but actually it could be a huge player, because we got to see a new version of it at CES. And the difference here is when you have these big VR goggles on, you can't see in front of you, but the graphics are really good and you're immersed in the game, and you might get lost and forget where you are, or at least where you're standing in the living room. And with HTC's version, they got this camera facing out. So if you forget, like, where, like, if you want, you can turn it on and see when someone walks in the room, or see like an outline of the furniture, so you're not going to like hit your, you know, shin on the coffee table or something. So at least you'll kind of know like where the couch is and where the stuff is, kind of on top of the image that you're seeing in front of you in the game. So that's kind of neat too.
If Bridget, let's
virtual reality slapped on everything.
Let's say they're all lined up on a table and you get to pick one and bring it home and keep it. Which one would you grab?
It would be, I was going to say HTC's, because of the fact that I like what everyone's saying about it. It all depends on the games, right? Because
yeah.
Everyone's saying, oh, we're going to have these amazing games. And the reason I hesitated is because there's a lot of attention on Oculus, and there's a lot of attention on on Sony's PlayStation. But if you're just looking at the tech itself, it seems HTC's is more of the impressive one. But yeah, VR was attached to everything at the show. There was even a lot of buzz about something that's not often talked about, but is part of the internet, and it was adult entertainment on your virtual reality machine. So expect to hear more about that too. Mm-hmm.
Bill, you did not perk up as I expected you to on that.
No, I don't want to get hurt. I'm afraid of getting hurt. I'm very sensitive.
I would like to virtual realitize myself into a Candy Crush game so I could dodge like certain pieces. Although I have to tell you, Bridget, I have now made the jump to Cookie Jam, which was voted like top game somewhere of 2015. So I highly recommend the Cookie Jam as well. Same concept.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've played that. But I would like to see myself in one of those games.
You.
It's just, you're just lining up snack food, right? That's all it is? You're lining
it's
up
like
snack
Tetris,
food?
It's like Tetris, but with, you know,
with
candy.
With cupcakes and cookies.
It's
right.
Kind of it would be kind of a sad way to use this amazing technology, which is matching games, but you never know what can be done.
Right.
All right, and so as you're leaving Vegas after the Consumer Electronics Show, or CES, a lot of people were downloading a new app. Tell us about this app called Peach.
Okay, so... there's a new social app. It's just like everything else, things to waste your time by scrolling through what your friends are posting. But the reason it got so much attention is for two reasons. One, it was created by the folk the guy who created Vine. That's that short looping video clip that is all the rage on Twitter and with young people. So people want to see, oh, what else did he create? And the other reason it got a lot of buzz is because the Peach app icon looks like a big butt. And everyone associates peaches and emoji as a representation of the buttocks.
Right.
And so this is a very buddy peach. And
oh,
so
peach!
Going,
I thought it was you've got a sweet
young people.
I thought it was onion. You've got a sweet onion. Now it's
no,
peach?
No, it's a peach. Onion's the old days. It's all new
oh,
now.
Yes. Oh yes, it's all about the peach.
Okay, right.
So when you go into it. The easiest way to explain it is it's like a private social network where to add people, you have to know their phone number or you have to know their username. So it's not as open as something like Twitter, but it all does the same stuff. Post your thoughts, post a video, or draw a doodle. Okay, now you can draw because it's your phone and a touchscreen. You know, that's a little extra twist. Other than that, I think everyone jumped on it to like see if it's going to be good, but it's just another thing to check, and so I'm not sold yet.
So eat a peach, don't download a peach.
Right.
And the butt...
Or at least secure your username, unless it gets popular, then things come back to it, right.
So it's an actual peach, and the there's like a little wrinkle or crease in the peach that makes it look like a butt. I thought it was just like a cartoon butt.
No.
Oh, no, it's a cartoon peach that is a peach,
oh, okay.
That is a buddy peach, yeah.
and but now explain to me, because Bridget, I'm challenged when it comes to things like this. Why would anybody want this? What are you getting out of this? I'm confused why anybody would need this.
You know, I'm not that old, and I'm also confused.
Oh, all right.
I mean, my God, I think it really is just let's find another way to message with our friends. If you're tired of Facebook being too open, you're feeling too like you can't be yourself, maybe you could be a little more private. We've seen private messaging apps like this before, and they fail. Path was one. So it really is, can you get the young ones, the really extra millennials really into it? And then maybe they'll be just for those folks,
But I get it.
Yeah, that's all. That all is a but. But yeah.
I've got a couple friends, and every time I talk to them, they'll say something, and they'll go, "And you're on Flip, right?" And I'll go, "I don't think I am." And they go, "Oh, you got to get on Flip. Are you on Pretzel?" And I go, "I'm not. I don't know what Pretzel is." And I don't know what they do on those things. Are they getting something out of life that I'm not getting?
Let's
I don't
just
know what
have interpersonal relationships. Can we go back to that?
No one does that anymore. You can't do that anymore. Mm-mm.
All right, I have found some way, and I mentioned last time we talked to you with the iPhone that it just asked me. I've been trying to upload the EOS, as Bill calls it, and the new operating system, and I didn't have enough storage. And I do back up my phone, and I don't restore it back to its original settings, but I still didn't find myself having enough room. And then lo and behold, one day it said, "Would you like to temporarily get rid of your apps?" So you can upload the latest EOS. And I said, well, sure as heck, yeah. And it worked. Well, now there's going to be a new software update. And what is this going to give us? Besides the middle finger emoji that I was happy to get.
There's always a hidden perk in all of them, right? okay, so we don't have a release date yet on when you're going to get this. But what they do first is give it to early versions to developers to work out the bugs, and some of the notes say that this new one will have some sort of software in it where there's a nighttime mode, a mode for reading in bed when all the lights are out. Because you hear study after study say that the reason we have trouble sleeping at night now is because we're looking at this big bright screen before we go to bed, and our brains are just turned on by the screen, and it takes a while to get back into that sleep mode. And that all has to do with blue light. And so what this night mode will be is more yellow. It'll have less blue light in it. So if you want to read before bed or scroll, in bed, you can do that. And supposedly it will just, make it easier. We've seen this tech also in Amazon's e-reader. The latest one has a yellow tint to it. And more and more gadgets are coming up with this night mode. So you could feel less guilty for scrolling at night and not feel like you're going to be up all night for like an hour.
Bill, you look baffled.
I'm confused. It's just simply a change of color. It's just a yellow light as opposed to a blue light. That's it? That's the only difference?
Yeah, because all if you go read up on these studies, it's because of blue light, you know, awakens something, triggers something in the brain that makes you more alert, makes you wake up more.
Maybe that's why I don't sleep through the night. And now I just got an iPad for Christmas from the boys.
Yeah.
And I thought, who needs an iPad? Oh, my God, I love it.
You're on it all the time, right?
And my husband and my younger son got the Amazon Kindle, which is awesome. It's honestly $50 for a tablet, and you can get all kinds of apps and read books on it. So no wonder none of us sleep anymore.
Right.
That's really it. It's the blue light. Although you said that Amazon or the fire or whatever it's called, does that already have the yellow light tinge?
Yeah, there's a new update. If you have one of the Amazon color tablets, go check it out and see if you have the update for it yet. Because it's the same exact thing. And you know, I personally have never switched my life to more yellow light to see if it did any difference. Usually, you know,
the blue's prettier. It's calming to me. I thought.
I mean, there are even glasses you can buy that are yellow glasses that you can use to read if you don't have this. I think a lot of it is just common sense. Don't go getting really active on Facebook if you're trying to go to sleep, because naturally your mind's going to start wandering and getting awake, you know.
Just play Candy Crush or Cookie Jam, and then you can fall asleep with the phone in your hand.
Solid advice, Wendy. That's perfect advice. Bridget, thanks so much. I'm glad we live in a day and age where peaches look like butts. I really do. This is a wonderful era we live in. I appreciate it.
Host of the CNET Update, what's going on in the CNET Update for today at CNET.com?
Well, aside from peachy butts, we're talking about also how Internet Explorer, old versions are no longer supported. Check your version you have of Internet Explorer. If you have IE 8, 9, or 10, they're not going to get security updates anymore. You want to get the newest one because, you know, if you stay with the old, you might end up dealing with some virus or hacking drama in the future.
All right. Well, cool. Thank you so much. She's Bridget Carey, senior editor at CNET. Go watch the daily update at CNET.com. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
All right, a quick break, then some news from Steve, and then more show ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Get a haircut and get a real
job. You know, we are lucky, Bill, because getting a real job, to us, radio is a real job, and it's awesome, and it really beats working for a living.
Yep.
But even interviewing for this job, when I met with Jimmy DeCastro, I'm just very uncomfortable during the interviewing process.
Yeah.
And radio is so laid back, you can do whatever you want. But a real job, which many people have other than us, you got 60 seconds to make it. What do they call it? The elevator pitch?
Sure.
The 60-second sell. And 60 seconds and you're hired. A revised edition of a book to help you. Robin Ryan is on the line with us. And 60 seconds, go. Kidding, Robin.
I could do it.
You could do it. So is it true that, you know, you can really sell yourself in 60 seconds?
You know, absolutely. And so all the people that are out there that are introverted, that get very nervous about going to the interview, or are just really savvy and want to be prepared, what I recommend you do is use the 60-second sell. This is your verbal business card. And you want to start out that interview thinking about, okay, how can I sell them? So what are my top selling points? You can't have more than five because they certainly won't remember them. And those selling points, you link together in a couple sentences. And when they say, tell me about yourself, you would start out saying something like, well, for the last 5 years, I've been a manager and I've had to handle hirings, I've had to deal with firings, but mostly I'm focusing on coaching my people, and we have improved productivity. We've been short a person and still the productivity has gone up.
I don't even know what position you're applying for, but I would hire
you
in a second.
You just got hired, Robin. Congratulations. You start Monday.
Thank you. Thank you. And so now is the time to negotiate salary.
See, that's where I'm not good. And I'll tell you, I have never been known to be shy. Bill, you've known me a long time.
I don't know if you have ever been shy, even once.
But put me in a room where I have to talk about myself. I could talk about my partner on the air. Bill, I could, oh my God, he is so funny. He's quick with it. But when it comes to talking about myself, I can't do it.
Well, you know, That's what 60 Seconds in Your Hired is about. It teaches you how do you sell yourself and how do you do that effectively. So you want to know, how do I answer the questions? And, you know, one of the tricks or the big tips is, think about, here's what I've done in my job. Here's some of my accomplishments. And that's what you want to offer. You want to say to the employer, well, you know, 6 months ago we had a big fundraiser that I was involved with, and I improved the sponsorship. I went out and got a great MC, and they waived the fee. And as a result of all the things I did in marketing, we were able to improve the attendance by 30%, and we raised 17% more money than they've ever raised before.
She makes it sound so easy.
Oh, it's so easy, sure. Robin, don't you think
you got to practice.
Don't you think part of the problem is that in real life we're taught that if you go into a situation and only talk about yourself, that's a bad thing, but in a job interview, you kind of have to do the opposite. You only have to talk about yourself.
Well, I think that you have to talk about your accomplishments and what you've done in the past for past employers to focus on how you can do their job and do it well.
Right.
I mean, a lot of them ask very tricky questions. So, you know, it's not an easy process. People don't realize that employers now are doing screening interviews over the phone to get rid of you.
Internet.
They're talking, you know, they talk about five people when you're sitting in front of them. That interview's set up so you'll fail. Because four people are going to lose the job. So that's an 80% fail rate. You got to keep that in mind so you're prepared.
All right. Well, you need to read this book. It's called 60 Seconds and You're Hired, More Than 100 Answers to Tough Interview Questions. We're talking to Robin Ryan. She's a best-selling author. She is, according to Boston Globe, America's top job search expert. You've been on a million radio shows, including Oprah, Dr. Phil, and so many of these. You can go to robinryan.com. Are there things you shouldn't do during an interview? Like, I suppose you should not bash your former employee at all, should you?
No. They're going to be thinking, oh, that's how this person will talk about me in the future. So, you know, Mom was right when she said, if you've got to say something negative, don't say anything at all. But probably the worst thing you could do is to say, so what is the salary that this job's going to pay? What will I get? You know, what will I be paid here? How much vacation time do I get?
Wait, that's the worst thing to say?
Absolutely. You have not been offered the job.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to waste your salary negotiation power. But when you talk about salary, what you're saying to them, look, I'm here for the money, and it's all about me. And the employer wants to believe that you're there to do a great job for them and that you're going to be focused on them, and that the money is the reward you get for focusing on them. So it's a different attitude.
Robin, there's a question that I always consider to be a trap question where they go, what's the one thing you're just not very good at? How honest do you want to be when they ask you that question?
Well, I think that the best way is to be able to go ahead and address it. So here's an example. You might be able to say, you know, I'm really good at Microsoft Office. I do macros in Excel. I do a lot in Word. But I had not used PowerPoint. So about 18 months ago, my boss said, you need to do PowerPoint. You need to do a presentation. So I went and did my presentation in the first one, and I knew it was lousy. And my boss said, yep, that was terrible. So I decided, okay, I'm taking a class. So I took a class or two in PowerPoint, and then we have a whiz in our department. And I went and, you know, got their tips and asked for advice how to improve my presentations. In fact, last week I stood up in front of, you know, our department, which was about 300 people, and my PowerPoint presentation, and you know, what I had to say, too, was excellent. They came up and said, oh, great job. My boss was so pleased. So, you know, that's probably where I was weakest.
You know how in school some people paid money to buy a term paper that someone else wrote?
Sure.
I think, yeah. I would like Robin to go in and interview for me if I'm ever looking for a job. You're very good at this.
More than once. All
right.
Yeah, I've heard that several times, but I tell people, you know what? I do one-on-one coaching, and I can work with you, and I can get you to have the right answers. That's one of the things about the book is it's got over 130 of the answers to the tough questions. But you have to prepare. I mean, you know, nobody can help you if you take the book and don't read it, or if you go to coaching and you don't apply it. You have to apply what you learn.
All right, and it's $15. You can get it everywhere, 16 seconds, and you're hired. A listener has texted us with an awesome question that I would like you to answer. 630 says, going back to work after staying home for 12 years, how do I account for that on my resume and interview when she's been out of the workforce for 12 years?
Well, the big thing would be, what kind of volunteer work have you done? And use that, because employers care about volunteer work and community service just as much as they care about paid employment. So you can put that on your resume. Hopefully she's done some. You know, a lot of people will work at the school or they'll work through their church. And what skills did you use? And if you have no experience at all, then you need to freshen up. You need to look at going to the community college, taking some classes, some computer classes, maybe taking something in an area you're interested in. Let's say you used to do bookkeeping or accounting. Well, you're going to need to take some basic courses to get you back up to speed. So, you know, getting extra education so that you make yourself appeal to the employer. And always think about, too, the temp agencies. You can go there. They'll put you to work, and that's where you're going to get some experience. So those are three good strategies to use.
Another text has come in just on the other side of the coin. If I'm interviewing someone, says 708, I automatically disqualify them if they say like every other word, carry out their consonants, and say ever, or that's crazy. I kind of understand that, but you may be missing out on a really good employee just because they have some verbal crutches that they rely on.
Well, and think about this, too. That could be generational. You don't realize that that's how the people talk in that generation. And, you know, we're bringing in millennials now. They're more than 50% in the workplace. If you can approach that like, well, give me an example of how you've used that skill, then you can decide whether or not that works. Because when you ask for a specific example, you're going to get a detailed answer. And you don't want to ask general questions like, you know, tell me about your experience doing event planning. You'd be better off saying, tell me about a problem you had in your last event where something went really wrong.
All right, we have...
I'd say, oh, you mean the explosion? Is that good to mention the explosion?
So that woman who texted in saying, you know, that she has stayed home for 12 years and getting back into the workforce. Someone else is saying, what if she was just a stay-at-home mom? A guy is saying that because it's not just a stay-at-home mom. But that's when you can you volunteered PTA or you worked at the church. There are a lot of things that you can do while staying at home. Trust me.
And that volunteer work that we disregard is very important. And like I said, you know, there's also the other option of going back to school and getting some new skills so that you've got something fresh to offer the employer.
And the volunteer stuff kind of shows that you're willing to do things because of your passion for doing a particular type of job, not just trying to get money out of it.
Right.
This also would be a question for college grads who have absolutely no experience. Isn't that difficult for them to get a job?
Well, it's difficult for them to get a job, but not for the reason you think. Most of them, when they ask, so what would you like to do? And they'll look at you and say, you know, I don't know. And the I don't know answer is probably the biggest issue. Employers like their the computer skills they have. They're usually pretty good communicators. They certainly know social media unbelievably well. So taking advantage of those things, but being able to communicate what you can do and, you know, really going through at the college, taking a career planning class where you determine, here's the two jobs that I want to go after. Because nobody can help you when you say, you know, I'm just looking for a job. I don't know what I want to do. I can't help you find that. I can help you find a job as a nurse in a doctor's office, or I can help you find a administrative assistant job, but I can't help you find the I don't know thing.
All right, we are talking to Robin Ryan. We understand you have to leave and do more interviews. Is that true?
I believe so. I think we have one more minute.
Yeah, because we have so many people that have questions. So we just say 60 seconds and you're hired. It's a revised edition by Robin Ryan. You can go pick up the book. It's an easy read and really some great insight in here on how to help you get a job. You can go to robinryan.com. And where else is this book available, Robin?
It's online at, you know, Amazon. It's in all the bookstores, and you'll also find it at BNN.com. So it's everywhere.
Awesome. Hopefully you helped some people find some great new jobs in this new year. Thank you so much, Robin.
Thank you.
She had to go. We have more questions.
She had to go. All right, let's take a quick break. We've got more show coming up for you next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. I have a question for you. We just talked to Robin Ryan. She is the author of 60 Seconds and You're Hired, which seems fast to me. 60 seconds?
It's true, though. They call it, you know, elevator pitch. I hate when people say that. But, I mean, you really do have to get the message out there quickly. I can't do that. I don't know how to edit, self-edit, or anything.
Right. Well, she lists a bunch of questions that she says you'll probably be asked when you go in for a job interview, and then the best possible way to answer these questions. Now, one of the questions is this. How old are you? Isn't it illegal for an employer or potential employer to ask that question? I think it is.
When employers can ask for your date of birth at jobsearch.com, employers are within their rights if they ask you for your date of birth during the job screening process. The
really?
Key factor will be what employers do with this information, since they are strictly prohibited from discriminating against job candidates or employees on the basis of age.
So what kind of a question is it that if you answer and they don't hire you, can come back to bite them? That seems like a double-edged sword, doesn't it? I don't know how they can win with that question.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of the last time I put a resume together, which I will give you advice to. Always have a resume ready, because then when you do need one, it's ready to roll, and you can update it, you know, every so often. But if you got nothing on paper, that's going to be a freak out trying to get something together.
Right.
But don't you put... I don't know that I put my age on there. I don't know.
I don't think I've ever been asked that in a job interview, how old I am.
The Age Discrimination in Employment Act of 1967 protects certain applicants and employees 40 years of age and older from discrimination on the basis of age in hiring, promotion, discharge, compensation, or terms, conditions, or privileges of employment. The law is enforced by the EEOC, Equal Employment Opportunity Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Any individual who believes that his or her employment rights have been violated may file a charge. Not hiring a worker because of his or her age is considered age discrimination. I don't know that they would ask you how old you are. I mean,
I don't think they can. I've said things in an interview and then they go, how old are you? That's happened several times.
Well, they think you're 80 chronologically with some of the things and references you make.
But I don't remember.
If Kevin Richter's coming in, I mean, wouldn't you? I don't know. I might find myself going, you're fresh out of college. How old are you? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not fresh out of college.
You're still young.
I'm 45.
You are not.
Would you ask him how much he could bench?
Yes.
I'd ask him that.
45 is the answer to that, too.
45 is the answer to that as well.
Well, that's an interesting question, because I know you can't be discriminated
based on
your age.
Once you say your age, and then the interviewer goes, whoa, like that, then
well,
you go,
if they do that, then I believe you could, like...
I can sue you.
Yes.
Right?
Ed, what about this? Do you know anything about this?
Well, I'm 66 and been retired a couple of years, and I've worked for one of the bigger companies in the city. So, and I've hired people that, what's your date of birth is a trick question, because it's legal if they just ask you your day of birth. They're looking for your month and your day.
Oh, all right.
But most people will give you month, date, and year.
I don't think I have ever been asked my age.
I know I haven't been.
But
we have a strange job.
I've had people ask what my date of birth is, or what my birth date is, and they just tell them January 19th. And
right.
They look at me blank because I tell you asked. I'm not giving you any more information than you want.
I'm fascinated by this. I wish you would have found that before we let her go, because
yeah,
I want to know.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of times you really have to, because, oh, God, you get so nervous during these interviews. You know, especially now that I'm retired and I'm looking at volunteer groups, they always ask a lot of questions. And I find myself being real slow at giving answers.
Well, were you listening to Robin Ryan? Because just the way she said it, like you come right out of the box. I was really impressed with, I know she does this for a living, but to write, you know, oh, in my old job, I did so-and-so and I did this, really had a good time. I mean, she really like nailed it.
Right.
I'd be what'd you do over the last year, Ed? Go ahead. We'll practice with you. What job are you applying for?
I'm working for a volunteer organization with the hopes of eventually going part-time with them. So
okay.
If they ask me, why are you know, if I was still working and I was working for new employment, I learned this trick a long time ago to go, well, why are you leaving your present job? Well, my chance of advancement is as high as I can get in my present job, and I'm looking to see if I can advance myself more by starting over with a new company.
See, that's good. That sounds like a positive spin on it. That's a very good way to approach it. Here's another helpful one. If they ever go, have you ever been convicted of a felony? You always go, convicted? You always say it that way.
Don't listen to Bill, Ed, okay? although, you know what?
You and I live in the same community.
Oh, really?
Yes. Every time I go into the local grocery store here, and, you know, you said something about them, I go, well, you got free advertisement again this morning. They laugh like hell.
Good.
He says, well, we'll give her a new breadstick the next time she comes in. So next time you go in there, tell them they owe you a pretzel.
Oh, okay. That's DeVries Groceries. I know. Yeah.
They, bing, 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 bing.
They give a pretzel rod every time you're checking out, and I love it.
Right.
Sometimes you're hungry when you're shopping.
Of course.
630 has just texted us, Ed, and it says, I have a recruiting background. An employer should wait until they're extending an offer to start the background check, which does require a date of birth, including the year. That's how it isn't discriminatory. So during an interview...
Right.
I'd be shocked if they asked that in an interview.
But, you know, Ed has the right answer. Like, you know, once you
month
you're,
and
right,
day, no year.
Your date of birth, just go, oh, February 12th.
Right.
Because they're looking for you to trip up and give them more information than you need to give them. So you got to stay positive, but you got to listen to the questions.
Good move, Ed.
Good luck to
Happy
you.
Birthday.
Thank you, Ed. Is that his birthday?
He said January 12th. I'm just assuming.
All right, quick break and then back with news.
That's how it works. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thanks, Kim. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200, I was just going through some news stories and an announcement has been made about two celebrities that just got engaged. They just announced their engagement, and I would not even put these two people on the same planet, much less knowing each other or getting married.
All right, talk to me.
Are you ready? This is a are you sitting down? I want everybody, please sit down for this.
I'm sitting down.
I don't want anyone
should
to
I
tip
stand
over.
Up?
Yeah, maybe you should stand up. Whatever you're doing, do the exact opposite. It's that strange. All right, here's the celebrity couple that just announced their engagement. This just a couple of hours ago, 2 hours ago, but I'm just seeing it. Rupert Murdoch. Do you know who that is?
Who is he?
Rupert Murdoch is
He's
the
rich.
Guy behind Fox News. He's the guy.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever I make the joke about Fox News blaming everything on Barack Obama, it's him, Rupert Murdoch, who's nodding his head going, well, it's all his fault. He's the guy.
Is he an old guy?
He's an old guy. He looks like Mr. Magoo's dad. If you ever, I don't know if there was ever an episode of Mr. Magoo where his dad showed up, old man Magoo, but that's what Rupert Murdoch looks like, is like his dad. He is, I'm trying to find confirmation on this. He's 109 or
84. 10? Does
84.
That sound right?
He's 84. Yeah. So there you have Rupert Murdoch, the head of Fox News, the head of Murdoch's News Corp. He's got this syndicate of papers and TV. That's a rich man, is that Rupert Murdoch.
He's a looker if he looks like Mr. Magoo's
he's
dad.
He's a very handsome man, Rupert Murdoch. He is getting married to supermodel Jerry Hall, the former wife of
Mick Jagger?
Mick Jagger. Yeah. Does that make any
sense? How old
is she? Well, she's younger than he is, but most of us here on the planet could say that. I'm not seeing an age on her, but I would put her right around 50.
59.
Is she 59?
Bill, right, she's younger than us. You say 50?
She's 59. I didn't know that. I thought she was closer in age to us.
Oh,
but
God.
She's
I thought
59.
She was old. I think she's lying. I think she's older than 59.
Do you? Yeah.
Yes. How old's Mick? 70?
Probably around 70, yeah. Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Well, so now 25 years difference?
But think about her. You know how everybody has kind of a wingspan of who they're interested in? Like, to me, the weirdest one of all time is always going to be Mia Farrow, who found both Frank Sinatra and Woody Allen to be the right person for her.
Just opposite ends of the spectrum,
complete
you mean?
Complete opposite ends of the spectrum. So for Jerry Hall, her wingspan is Mick Jagger and Mr. Magoo's dad, old man Magoo.
That does seem an unlikely match.
Doesn't it? I mean, forgive me, because maybe they have a million things to talk about and they have many of the same interests.
Although I just looked this up, they've only had a 4-month romance.
Oh.
So what the heck? Let's get married.
Let's give it
a shot. He wants to, you know, consummate their marriage. She says, no, only when we're married.
Right. I'm positive that's the
I've changed my ways since dating Mick Jagger.
Right.
That's married to him.
That's the conversation I'm sure went on at his small bachelor apartment that he lives in, Rupert Murdoch. Would you ever put those two people together ever? It just seems so weird to me.
I
can't.
They don't
seem like they'd have that much in common.
Nothing in common.
Zero.
And I'm not talking age. I'm talking just views
just
on life.
Maybe he's moved like Jagger.
Oh, that is frightening.
I don't know that he does, Kim. That's kind of you.
But lying.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
That's funny. Oh, boy. Well, I don't know.
I'm sure it'll last forever. I'm not trying to doom the relationship. I'm positive this will last forever.
I don't think forever's too long, though.
For
well,
one
yeah,
of them.
What?
Considering
couple
he's
years?
80, whatever.
84. I just,
you
know.
He could still live another 16, 17 years. He could.
Darn me for marrying for love.
Yeah, you made a huge mistake.
I know. What was I thinking?
You made a giant mistake.
But maybe this is, because obviously she's got money for Mick. Does she really need Rupert Murdoch's money?
That's a good question.
She doesn't have that kind of money. He's a billionaire.
I bet Mick Jagger's got to be close to a billionaire, isn't he?
Yeah, but this is Jerry Hall. I know she has 4 kids with Sir Mick.
Right.
They were never legally married, by the way.
Oh, I didn't know that.
4 children, so she gets, you know, paternity and child support. But she's
maternity.
I guess.
Right? Yeah.
Well, no, he's paying paternity.
Oh, I get
right?
it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. All right. It was just worded strangely, but yeah, I guess so. All right.
So, but she has to use that money to pay for her kids, or they get it.
Right.
And then he has a bunch of kids.
Does he? Yeah, he does have a bunch of kids.
Prudence, Elizabeth, Lachlan, James, Grace, and Chloe.
Wow. Maybe they have to get married. Do you think? Maybe that's what it is? I'm just being optimistic.
God, who else has she been linked to besides Mick Jagger?
I think before Mick Jagger, I think she had a little bit of a run going because she was a supermodel. She's a very attractive lady. Not that he can see it. Somebody's got to tell him. Rupert, she's a very pretty lady. Is she? Oh, Magoo, you've done it again.
What is Mick saying about this?
I wonder.
She likes younger men.
Wouldn't you be not this time?
No.
Not this time. No.
She has had previous boyfriends, a film producer, George Wad.
I don't know who that is.
Banker about town, Tim Attias.
Yeah.
She likes obviously handsome men, such as her most recent squeeze, the scientist, 51-year-old Armand Leroy. I don't know any of these people. She likes men with a lot of charisma. Mick Jagger, of course.
Yeah.
She wants them to be cultured. Art and ballet are her specialties. So really, Rupert Murdoch has nothing really in common with her.
A heavy wallet. I hate to say it. But if you're Jerry Hall and you just see this guy walking down the street and you don't know he's Rupert Murdoch and he's got all kinds of money.
Wasn't he in that Mr. Magoo movie? That's what I'd say.
Right. Right.
Boy, that's a weird
as
mix.
He honks the horn on his car. Out of my way.
Yeah, I don't. That's a weird mix-up. But
that's
a
strange couple.
She has been linked to millionaires. Most of Jerry's serious relationships have been with millionaire men.
Interesting.
Again, I'm married for love. What's wrong with me?
Next time. Do it different next time. I think Rupert Murdoch's dad is still available if you're interested in him.
Excellent. Let's
all right,
book him.
A little bit of a break and then more show. It's Phil and Wendy, WGN.
All right. Well, what are you going to get Jerry Hall and Rupert Murdoch as they've just announced they're getting married?
They're hard to buy for. I'm going to go to Wicks and Sticks and find something. I hope I haven't jeopardized you and me getting some sort of an invitation to their wedding because of this. I mean, we're just having fun, but I hope it doesn't disclude us from their wedding.
Should we get
at the VFW hall?
Bedpan, Bath and Beyond.
Yes.
We were also looking at can't believe Bill just tried to set up Wendy with Mr. Magoo's grandpa.
go out with him once. If you don't like him, no harm, no foul. But I think you're going to like this guy.
Justin Bieber is in the news, too, because he has a new girlfriend. He's seeing one of the Baldwin brothers' daughters.
Oh, Stephen Baldwin's daughter.
We had nicknames for the Baldwins, didn't you?
Yeah, I remember Beefy Baldwin was one of them. Daniel Baldwin was Beefy Baldwin.
Alec.
There's Billy Baldwin. Who am I leaving out? There's one more.
The ugly
and
Baldwin?
There's Adam Baldwin, but he's not one of the Baldwin. He's from here. He's not one of the Baldwins.
He was in Breaking
Baldwins.
Away?
No.
Yes, he was. Adam Baldwin?
Yeah, he wasn't in Breaking
Away. What's that
away.
Movie? He was in... Yes, he was.
He was in... No, he wasn't in Breaking Away.
He was in...
My Hero? He was in that with Matt Dillon. The one who's from the North Shore?
Yeah. He was also in... I can't think of the name of the military movie that he was in.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. But he's not one of the...
Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah, he's in that. But he's not one of those Baldwins.
Right, he's not even related.
Right.
But... Stephen Baldwin, he has white teeth, but I think he was like the ugly Baldwin.
Maybe, possibly.
His daughter's beautiful, and that's who's dating Justin Bieber.
Well, one of Stephen Baldwin's daughters is a model, and then Alec Baldwin's daughter, Ireland, by Kim Basinger, is also a model. They've got the model gene going. They're very pretty. Both of them are very attractive girls.
All right. And Adam Baldwin, wasn't he in that movie? Who was in Breaking Away?
Dennis Christopher.
I never heard of him.
Oh. But I know for sure Adam Baldwin wasn't in it.
He was in Ordinary People.
I think he was. That would make sense. Yeah.
I got to tell you, because I could have sworn he was in it. Maybe I didn't see Breaking Away.
I feel uneasy about my daughter, either of my daughters, dating Justin Bieber. That would not sit well with me.
I don't think it would sit well with many people.
I could do that. I would desperately try to talk them out of that situation. I don't like that. As talented as Justin Bieber may or may not be, I don't think he's good date material.
My Bodyguard is what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, he was in My Bodyguard.
I'm sorry.
Right.
Lakeview Zone, Adam Baldwin. No relation.
Yeah.
And Haley Baldwin is the one seeing Bieber.
Right. Today.
Oh, they've been together. There are some lovely shots that she took, or that he probably took, of her laying on a pier. And she's just all sprawled out. And I wonder why your wife doesn't take pictures of you like that.
Oh, I got those pictures. You want to see some? I'll bring those in. They're not, even the internet wouldn't have those pictures. The internet would reject them.
Can I share something with you? Earlier this week, we were talking about some of the, or I think it was last week, we were talking about some of the best cities here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And Evanston was the top one.
Mm-hmm.
And very strange choices like Edwardsville and Woodstock.
Right. Chicago itself it was in the top
Evanston
10.
Was above Chicago.
Right.
Which
right.
I know it's very cool and unique, but I don't know. Chicago may have more to
There's
offer.
More stuff to do here, right.
Well, now Fox 32 Chicago has talked about the 10 worst Chicago suburbs, the worst.
This is even better.
And they were ranked on according to good education, lots of jobs, low crime, high incomes, high population density, meaning lots of things to do, nice homes.
Yeah.
And this is Road Snacks has put together the 10 worst Chicago suburbs to figure out how bad a place is to live. We only needed to know what kinds of things people like and then decide what cities have the least amount of those things.
Okay.
So, meaning not a good education, not lots of jobs.
Nothing to do.
High crime.
Yeah.
Nothing to do. Low incomes and terrible homes. Then we rank that list based on places that are worst in all of these categories that have over 5,000 people in and around Chicago. And
can I take a guess on one of them? I've not seen this list, but for years and years and years, the city of Robbins was known as exactly what you're describing. Nothing much to do. Not a lot of jobs. Nowhere to eat. Nothing to do. Did Robbins make it?
No. These...
congratulations to them, then, for not being on the list.
I can't even believe them. Tied for ninth, Elmwood Park and Riverside.
No.
That's no way. Riverside is a very nice community.
Home to North Riverside Park, especially for you, Mall.
That's North Riverside. That's a different town.
Riverside and North Riverside are different?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Yep. Brookfield is number 8.
Oh.
I am Brookfield's favorite daughter. They don't know it, but I was born and bred there.
Didn't you get arrested for carving that on the sign?
Maybe. I carved it on the Liberty Bell they have by, there's a park, and I'll never forget when they put up that Liberty Bell. It's a replica of the Liberty Bell.
Yeah.
And
that was good for tourism, wasn't it? Didn't that bring in a lot of people?
It was good for kids climbing all over it. That's really it. I feel bad that they put that up there.
There were all kinds of people going, we could go to Philadelphia and see the Liberty Bell, but there's one so close. Why would we go to Philadelphia?
10 worst Chicago suburbs, according to Road Snacks. Riverside and Elmwood Park are tied for 9th. Brookfield is number 8. Westchester.
Oh, come on.
See, as soon as Scott's Pet Shop in Westchester left, it went downhill.
That was the turning point.
Number 6, Palos Hills.
No, I've been to Palos Hills a bunch of times. That's
now,
not a bad place.
It's getting closer to home because I'm hitting my Riverside Brookfield kind of, and it bothers me. Number 5, Oak Lawn.
Oak Lawn's a pretty decent place to be.
It is.
Come on. That's wrong.
4, Hickory Hills.
Hellhole.
HH, Hellhole and Hickory Hills.
Right. Hickory Hills is fine.
I know. Worth.
Worth is the friendly village.
I know, so how could it be ranked the worst Chicago suburb?
It says it on their water tower, the friendly village. They're the nicest people in the world in Worth.
Number 2 is Lyons. Mm. Now, Lyons has been cleaned up quite a bit because right. there used to be a ton of strip clubs there. What is now a Burger King on Ogden and First Avenue.
Right.
Michael's Magic Touch.
What goes on there?
It was exactly what you thought. It
really?
Was yes, it was a strip club.
Wow.
And Lyons has totally cleaned up its act. That's number 2.
Sean Penn hangs out there looking for fugitives that he can interview. Or used to. He doesn't anymore. It's
and
much nicer now.
The number 1 worst Chicago suburbs according to Road Snacks.
I would do a drum roll, but I left my drum in Lyons and it got stolen. What is it?
Harwood Heights. I don't know enough about Harwood Heights.
I've never been to Harwood Heights, so I don't know.
But Riverside, Brookfield, Westchester, Elmwood Park.
Oak Lawn.
Palos Hills.
Those are all nice. Those aren't terrible places.
I know. 847 says total crap study.
Agreed.
So I'm throwing it out.
Take that, Road Snacks. You're wrong. I'm going to give that to Rupert Murdoch and Jerry Hall as a wedding gift.
Oh, do you want me to tape
yeah,
it together?
Can you tape it together?
Certainly.
We'll find out what Steve Bertrand has coming up on the Wintrust business launch in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thanks, Kim. It's Bill and Wendy. Hi. Hi, everybody. 312-981-7200. Why not give us a call or maybe a text? Would it kill you?
Why do I lose everything?
In the last few moments, you've announced that you've lost many elements for today's show. What's
wrong? Is Rachel
wrong?
Feinstein on the show today?
She was on the show last week, but there's a chance she could stop in again today, I guess. Sure.
All right. Well, we'll get a show scheduled.
You lost your schedule? You can borrow mine. It's the same one. Mine is the same as yours.
Is Eric Zorn on? Oh,
no, he was on yesterday.
$5 every time I lose a sheet?
Yeah.
I don't give a sheet.
Obviously. You lost your sheet. That's what happened, and now it's found. So everything's in its place. We were just celebrating here in the studio, and we found this out earlier this morning, but every time we hear it, it's really, really good news that Coach Joel Quenneville has signed an additional 3 years to his deal, so he'll be around for quite a while longer, and boy, is that great.
The best mustache ever.
In all of sports or in all of planet Earth?
It might be, well, definitely in all of sports. I know Ditka had a great stash for a while.
Ditka had a very good mustache going.
What about other Chicago coaches and sports officials that had great mustaches?
Boy.
Dave Wannstedt, mm-mm.
That was a very shady-looking mustache on Dave Wannstedt,
he was
wasn't
missing
it?
Half of it.
You
know how they have that spray
yeah.
on here for men? He should have done that in his mustache.
There were some the same gaps that the Bears had in their offense, he had in his mustache. It was representative of the Bears' front line.
But Joel Quenneville's looks so cushiony.
That's a professional mustache he's got. It really is a great. I don't know if he's got people helping him with it or if he's doing it on his own, but that's a good mustache he's got.
I would have to touch it.
I think he would let you.
I don't think so.
If you asked kindly, if you said, look, I know you got to focus on the game, but could I just quickly just feel and see if it's what I'm hoping it is? I think he'd let you.
I wouldn't do it during a game. I have the utmost respect for him. But you know how Travolta, everybody wanted to touch his hair. Don't touch my hair. He'd be like, don't touch my stash.
What about, now I know he did not play for any Chicago teams, but Raleigh Fingers, relief pitcher for the Oakland A's and the San Diego Padres, had that kind of like a
Scott
handlebar. Oh, yeah, Scott Miller, who produced here,
from
had
the Pete
that
McMurray
same,
show.
Yeah.
That is very good if you're in a barbershop quartet.
Well, they were in a barbershop quartet together, so I gotta, I'm going to get both of those guys off the hook. Raleigh Fingers and Scott Miller were in the same barbershop quartet.
Do people touch? I don't. I've never had a mustache. Well, okay, I do, but I wax. I'm right. Half Italian. That's my half. That's Italian.
Yeah.
But do people don't touch mustaches? Like,
oh yeah.
I like when women are pregnant. Everybody feels the need and feels that it's okay to touch a woman's pregnant
which
belly.
Is so weird.
It is wrong.
Unless you're if you're married to that person or responsible for that birth, it's very. And I've seen people
I
do
know.
This. Did people do that to you? Did they just go up and go, I got to touch your stomach. I got to feel what it feels like. Did people do that?
I don't. I must have blocked it out.
Oh, is that strange?
But I'm the exception to every rule because I probably wouldn't care.
Yeah.
But I mean, the majority.
If you were having a baby right now.
The weird thing is Kevin came and rubbed my stomach and I'm not having a baby.
What's with that, Kevin?
You're
so rude.
You
can't just do that to people.
It's my new thing I'm trying.
That's rude. That is rude.
Bill, you're next, buddy.
I don't care. I'm all right with it, but for Wendy, that's
he's gonna start
just,
nuzzling later.
I call it show prep.
I don't know if that's show prep, Kevin. That's not show prep at all. But did people ever just like the
show
they,
prep.
That's not show prep. Did people know and just go, oh boy, this I gotta feel what that baby feels. Did people do that to you?
I think so because when you're pregnant, a lot of times you rub it because there's nothing else to do with it. It's
I
just
guess.
There.
Yeah.
It just it's as hard as a rock. It's kind of amazing, really.
It is. No, it's the ultimate amazing.
I know. But so I guess if I was rubbing it, I'd be like, oh God, I'm so full. This thing's
sure.
getting big. It's hard to sleep.
Right.
I don't think anybody just touched
good
it.
Good for you. Because I think if I was with my wife somewhere when she was having the girls and somebody suggested that, I would say,
you'd step in front of her.
Right. I would do that. I'd run interference.
You'd take a hand for her.
I would.
But that's why I want to know with pregnant bellies. And, you know, I'm a little guilty of this when someone gets like a buzz cut. I like to feel their head, but
right.
I ask.
Right.
I say, can I pet you?
Do you say that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think if you ask and there's permission granted. But I wouldn't have the guts to just go up to a woman that I had just met or even somebody I've known for years and go, I got to get in on this. I have to know what this feels like. I would never do that.
Well, I just want to know if people, I mean, I really would want to touch, Coach Quenville's
mustache,
but I don't know if that's a thing. 630 says, I've noticed a lot of women think it's okay to pull on men's beards. I have never in my life pulled on a man's beard.
Just walk up to a beard and just tug on it?
Santa, maybe.
I hear that hurts a lot.
That would
well, it's connected.
Yeah, that would have to hurt.
And they're surprised it hurts because, you know, pulling hair on someone's face should be different than anywhere else on the body. This
right.
obviously coming from a man with a beard or a lady with a beard.
Right. We don't want to discriminate. Just somebody with a beard.
Mustache is now going to be renamed Q-stash.
I like it.
Phil Jackson had a good mustache.
Phil Jackson had a good mustache. Not as good, with all due respect to him. As the Coach Quenville mustache
wasn't as lush and plush.
That's the I think that's the perfect mustache, and his face. Understand when I say this, his face accommodates that mustache. Do you know what I mean by that? I can't picture him without one. I'm sure when he was a little boy, he didn't have a mustache.
I don't know.
I don't think he did in Canada when he was a kid. I don't think he did. But
I bet he still had that scruffy voice
did.
When he was younger.
He did. I know the answer to this one. Is it 3 + 2 = 5? Yes, young Coach Quenville. They called him Coach Quenville as a small boy. They called him Coach Quenville. Isn't that weird? They knew, this little town knew that he was destined for that.
They love me in the organization.
Yes. He is such a good guy.
He is awesome.
Did I ever tell you about the time I thought I was going to make him laugh and I didn't?
No.
I had talked to him on the phone several times while working at this station, and then all of a sudden I was filling in for the morning show and he was my guest, and I said to him, we were talking about the team, and I said, hey, here's an idea, because I had a bunch of great ideas I thought I'd run past Coach Quenville.
I said, they were great.
Instead of just having one guy in the goal, and this is when they had Antti Niemi in the goal. He was their goaltender. I go, instead of having one guy, why don't you get two of the fattest guys you can find and they can be goalies together and they can just stand next to each other and there wouldn't be room for a puck to get in. I thought he would laugh at that. And he goes, well, the problem with that, Billy, is there's no mobility with your bigger players. They can't really move to the left or move to the right. So to get two guys in there of that girth would never really work out. Like he figured it out. But he answered it. We've thought about it. We've run it past. That would never work.
You really thought he'd laugh at that?
Yeah, because it was obvious I was kidding. But he pulled out some schematics, some charts. He goes, no, see, the problem there is he showed me how if you put two guys in there, it just couldn't play.
Someone said, 872, I need Cubs manager to grow the Chicago mustache. Maybe it's lucky.
Boy, if we could convince Madden that that mustache is all we need to win the World Series, I bet he would do it. He seems like he's agreeable to something like that.
Does John Fox have a mustache?
No.
Maybe he should grow one.
That wouldn't be a bad idea. Yeah, yeah.
630, when she was pregnant, says, I encouraged the belly rub because it was the tightest abs I've ever had. It is so tight. It's big basketball is under your shirt.
Yeah.
You could bounce on it. I mean, you could knock on it.
Well, they say not to, but you could. Yeah, it's not the best thing for you. But all right, a break and then a lot more show. Congratulations, Coach Quinville. And then, Steve, if you're up for this, we're going to take a quick break, but we want to talk about something that's going on. I hope this is okay. I'd be a little nervous if I were you.
There's a situation going on involving one of
his
family members.
Yeah. All right. So we'll discuss that in a little bit. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Our friend Steve Bertrand has something going on that would make pretty much anyone nervous. Steve, are you okay to talk about this?
Sure.
There are some whiteout conditions being reported everywhere. Not everywhere. Actually, it's on I-65. Whereabouts is this, Steve?
Well, I know a lot of people are having trouble coming up and down I-65. There was a big accident on I-70 in Indiana near Richmond. And my daughter's driving back to college, and I just hate I-65. I hate it.
It has been, you and I have talked about this a little bit, it's one of those roadways that's always under construction. I don't know what's going on. They just can't seem to get it right for a while.
Well, part of it's just the way it's where it's built. I mean, you know, I-57 is like that in some stretches too, but doesn't have the traffic. But if, you know, I know people are out there.
So they're just stuck.
I was getting a lot of texts during the business lunch too of people asking for information because, you know, you can have one accident and then you're stuck and there's no exit for a long time. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's just a nasty situation over there.
And your daughter currently it's a whiteout condition that she's driving through and she's just not moving, right? She's been there for quite a while.
Yeah, I guess she started moving a few minutes ago.
Oh, okay,
but just a rough go. And it doesn't matter. It can be sunny and 70 degrees and there will be some sort of storm along I-65.
I know.
It's just too out in the open. They need to build a big bridge or tunnel over it.
A big tunnel, yeah.
I had a radio interview at WWCT, 106-something FM in Peoria. Mm-hmm. And my brother had lived out there. This was before I started in radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an interview. I had to drive out there. I was going to stay with my brother. And there was this hideous snowstorm. And I borrowed my mom's car because, of course, I didn't have a job or a car or anything. She gave me, it was a little Honda Civic wagon. It was tiny. And it was being blown all over the roadway. And I tried to keep with the speed limit.
Yeah.
Or at least the 45, the minimum.
Right.
And I was not a very experienced driver. And there were people spinning out to the left, to the right, I just was 10 and 2 position, just focused, trying to go 45 if I could, and it was like really white-knuckling it the whole way there.
Right. Does that story make you feel better, Steve?
Oh, yeah, that helps a lot.
Well, what I'm saying is I was by myself, and it was kind of scary, but it was like you just take your time and you learn not to go the speed limit.
Yeah, no, she'll get through it and everything, but it's so aggravating because that road is always trouble. One of my great childhood memories was in 1979 when there were the big blizzards. Remember those?
Yeah.
So I lived in Manteno, which is right along I-57, and there were people they were stuck. They got snowed in literally, on the interstate. And at that time, a lot of people in the area, ourselves included, had snowmobiles.
Right.
So the men in town got on snowmobiles and went out up and down 57, pulling people out of their cars.
Saving people?
Yeah, and bringing them to the Mantino High School.
Outstanding. Good.
That was not
like
only
living an episode of Emergency.
Yeah. And it not only was fun for you because snowmobiling is a blast, but you were also doing good.
Yeah. And you're just in the middle of the adventure.
Now, my concern for your daughter, and I already brought this up to you, is does she have enough gas in the tank
in
the car?
Why do you hurt people? Because it's like you punch Bertrand in the gut.
No, because if one of my daughters called me under similar circumstances, my very first question would be, how much gas does it show in your tank?
Don't most people who are going to take a road trip fill up before they get on the road,
not
especially
if they're
women?
College students?
I don't know. I think
she's fine with that, and she's moving now, so.
So it's better news.
Right.
2 miles an hour.
Well,
but
now it's you. Now it's you.
Well, it's kind of fun, Bill. I see why you do this. But she'll be fine. It's just really, I really tried to go the speed limit.
Right.
Because something in your head is saying, you know, oh, I can't. I got to keep up with the traffic. But there, no one could keep up with the traffic. And another trip to Peoria about four Christmases ago, my sister, cousin, me and my family, the boys, were driving to Peoria to spend the day after Christmas at my brother's.
Yeah.
And it was a hideous blizzard yet again. So we took a way that we thought would be better, like where you actually go to Bloomington Normal. It takes longer,
right.
But it's supposed to, like, we'd think the roads were in better condition.
Yeah.
It took us what typically is 2 hours and 18 minutes to get to Peoria. It took us probably 3.5 hours.
Did it?
Almost 3:45 to get there. And then when we got there, my sister-in-law says, oh, you came. I didn't think you were going to come. It was so bad. I didn't know there was an out. Now I'm filing that out.
Right. That trip to Peoria always seems like, I guess the best way to describe it is like, remember on Flintstones episodes where they'd be driving and it would be the same tree you kept passing and the same big rock? That's how it seems like when you're driving to Peoria. It's like, I've passed that same tree 11 times and that same big rock 11 times. How am I not advancing?
And it's almost to the point where it's too far to spend the night.
Right. But if you have a chance to come back, come back.
Yeah, I'm saying that wrong. It's like not far enough to spend the night, but too far to make it a pleasurable experience.
Right.
Somebody just said, I-65, I was just stuck on there for 3 hours. 708 says
today?
That. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So sorry. 630, I-65 sucks. Too fast, too much traffic. Needs a third lane. I fear driving on that road.
Yeah, a lot of it, I can't say most of it, but a lot of it is just two lanes in each way. And then I told you when I was there, when we were dropping Reese off, there was a bridge that was out, and they were just in no hurry to fix it. So they had to reroute traffic through the smallest towns in all of America. Like, I've never seen smaller towns in my life. And they would reroute you through those towns. And I don't know if that was any better or worse than I-65. But, boy, you'd spend the day just going on a trip that should take 4 hours.
Well, here's some advice from 630. My daughter went to college down south, and we always took 65, but then discovered Route 41, which was a very nice road, divided highway, two lanes in each direction. So we just started taking 41 instead of getting onto 65 because of all the construction, which is good if that'll get you where you need to go.
I think 41 is the route I was just talking about, I think.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure.
Well, no, because this is a divided highway, two lanes in each direction.
Is? All right.
Not through, you know, any town USA.
I kept seeing the people, you know that American Gothic painting with the old guy and the older woman? They were like in every house we passed by. They were standing out in front with a pitchfork.
No wonder they never smiled. Strangers coming through their town.
Yeah, I know. A break, some news, and then a lot more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder, along with friend of the show and friend in real life, Mike Toomey. Mike is appearing at Zany's in St. Charles, and it's a very strange schedule. Mike, you're aware of this, right? Your schedule there is very strange.
That would be my fault. I did not punch this button right here.
Punch the Mike Toomey button.
Did you want to talk today, Mike Toomey?
There,
I didn't.
We go.
Now you're
I
on the air.
I didn't realize.
I couldn't hear myself before. No, it's a one show on Thursday, and then we have shows on Friday and Saturday. So it's, you know, usual schedule.
But now, according to this, you're also there Monday and Wednesday. Is that true, too?
Okay.
Are you you're not there?
Is that for real? They say that Monday and Wednesday?
That's what they... Here's what it says on my schedule, Mike, and if it's wrong, I apologize, but it says you're there this upcoming Thursday the 14th and Friday the 15th and Saturday the 16th. It says Mike will be taking a day off Sunday the 17th. He'll return Monday the 18th, off Tuesday the 19th, and then make his farewell performance on the 20th, which is Wednesday. That's what it says on the sheet.
Let's do that then.
You want to do it? All right.
We are doing the Twister competition on Wednesday.
Oh, there's a Twister competition.
Yeah, I just host it. It's not really a comedy. I just kind of host it and make sure everybody's following the rules.
That sounds like fun.
Right-hand red. Like, I'm the guy that's like, no, I said right-hand red. You're out. Like, that kind of thing.
People don't play Twister to the level that you play. You're really good at it.
Well, not at a competitive level. And I'm right. proud to say that I'm one of the people who is really super good at it. If people don't say super good anymore, I just like to say
no,
that.
You are super good at it.
Remember that guy who would say, yeah, I'm super good at Twister. What are you talking about?
I am on the Zanies website, by the way, and it says Mike Toomey, January 14th through the 16th. Would that be correct?
That sounds right.
So all this other information that I've been handed is erroneous at best.
You're on the bogus Zanies website.
Bogus Zanies website.
Erroneous or erogenous?
Both. You've seen Mike's work.
Now you're going into a whole other region of websites.
Mike,
erogenous website.
Well, you just do only the people who come to see you. It's all bachelorette parties, correct?
Yes, that's what we hope for.
All right, but wait, hang on, Mike, because now I clicked on the link and you are there those days.
It's got you there for a bunch of days.
Well, whatever days it says, I will make it a point
all
to
right.
be there.
All
wow,
right.
you're going to work hard.
My book has got me this Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
I have to
say this, not to get off of what you guys are talking about.
Yeah.
But when you were talking about that whole driving to Peoria and not knowing where you were because the landscape looked the same.
Right.
And that was before, like, remember doing comedy in those days and we didn't have GPS?
Right.
We would actually have to ask the American Gothic people for directions. Saying, like, the guy be, like, gesturing with his pitchfork, you're going to head another 2 miles this way.
And, Mike, they would use the word yonder a lot. Like, they'd go,
yes.
It's down yonder. Where is down yonder?
That's true.
And what would happen to me is when people give me directions, like, I stop listening after, like, the first 10 seconds, and all I can think of is, please stop so that I can leave and ask somebody else.
I know, because there are too many steps. You can't remember, because
right.
you, in your head you're going, okay, so I'm going to turn left, then right. You can't go beyond that.
That's true.
Right. And they think they're doing you a favor because they know all the shortcuts there. Like, they want specifics of your directions. You're like, hey, how do I get to I-70? Well, where are you going? I just want to get on I-70. That's it. I'm going to, like, build a fruit stand at the off-ramp. I have no further destination than that.
And sometimes they'll toss in little local things that you couldn't possibly know. Like, they'll go, it's down by Griffin's Mill or where they found the Morgan boy. And you're like, I don't know. Who's that? What happened?
Yeah. Hang a right at the Basset Hound.
Boy, I can't even remember traveling without the assistant. I don't have GPS in the car, but just the iPhone and MapQuest.
Makes all the difference.
Not MapQuest. It's Google Maps. Yeah. I guess that's what I use.
I don't know how I got anywhere. One time we were in Lafayette, Indiana. We were trying to find the actual place. And this lady was giving us directions, but she was being attacked by bees while she was giving us the directions. And she kept waving her hand in front of her face and stopping. And we're just like, just find a break in the action so we can leave and ask somebody who isn't being attacked by bees.
And plus, then you got to think, should I help her?
Right.
Do I really want the rest of the directions?
Right.
Mike, did you have...
Those only cracked, you know.
When I was a kid and we would take our summer vacation and we would drive, my parents would send away for something called a triptych, which was a red and white book where it went like every 10 miles, you would flip a page over like you were on To Tell the Truth or something. And it would take you like every 10 mile interval to the roadways you'd be taking. Did you ever have that?
I don't remember that at all, but they should still sell that. Why
they should still have it.
That must have, it was triptych. I do remember that. It was either from AAA or the Chicago Motor Club.
Yeah.
And boy, that tells you how far in advance your family planned stuff.
Yes.
Because typically, you know, it'd be like, all right, let's just get in the car and start driving this way.
Right.
Right. And this is where we're going to stop.
And my mom would always put a rating, like she would rate all the bathrooms wherever we went, so that the next time if we ever went back to that part of the world, she could say, you know, the Shoney's Big Boy has 3.5-star bathrooms. We should go there.
Right. fantastic. I'm not even on a trip, and I just go there sometimes. Just to, like, to use the Shoney's bathroom. It's that good.
It is that good.
It's better than the one at my house, so why would I not just go there?
Sometimes on the attraction board at Shoney's, it would say, 3.5-star bathroom, says Mrs. Leff of Oak Forest, Illinois.
She was going to start her own travel log. Whatever happened with that?
I don't know.
Travel log, I get it.
No, I didn't even mean it. I didn't even mean it that way.
Sure. Oh, that's dirty.
That's an example of the comedy you're going to get at Zany's when Mike Toomey is there. When is he there, Bill?
Well, according to this, he's there every day between now and the end of the year, except for Monday and Wednesday. I don't know.
No, you know what it is, guys. It's what? January 14th, 15th, and 16th.
Right.
Two shows on Saturday the 16th, and then you're back again in February, right?
Yes.
18th and 20th.
All right, that's what it is.
For a Thursday and a Saturday. Yes, that's where the confusion is coming
from. All right.
Can I just say, Kevin Richter, our producer, you have to look at the month, not just the numerical entrant of the date.
Yeah, these are some of the numbers where I'll be, but not. We could do like a riddles, like, you know, make riddles is right. When I'm going to be there.
That's fine.
It's kind of like Human Twister. You have to follow the numbers instead of the colored orbs or balls or whatever they are.
Click on Frank Gorshin to figure out which nights I'm going to be there.
All right, Mike.
Or John Astin. There's like a really small picture of John Astin.
Right.
You can also
the honorary Riddler, if Frank Gorshin was not available. All right, here's what I need to... I want to share this with everybody, and if you're uncomfortable with it, just say so, and I'll talk about something else. You've been a Cubs fan your whole life. You love the Cubs, correct?
That is correct.
All right. Last year, during round one of the playoffs, I called you up, and I said, isn't this the best? We've been dreaming about this our whole lives. The Cubs are going to win the World Series. Isn't this great? And then tell everybody what you told me.
I think I said I can't enjoy it because it's too stressful.
That's it, exactly.
Yeah, I couldn't enjoy it.
Well, I understand it, and they didn't win, you guys. I hate to tell you this.
Spoiler alert to anybody who taped the games.
And ultimately, they did not, but you get to the point where, you know, as much as you love a team, unless they win it all, especially the Cubs, it always ends the same way. Regardless of how far they go, it always ends with you being, like, disappointed in how it ended.
Right, right.
So what are your feelings for this year, Mike, about your favorite team, the Cubs?
Well,
are you too stressed to think about it?
I'm not stressed at all. Like, I'm excited, and I can't wait for spring training, and I can't wait for them to start playing. But, you know, how are you going to win more than 97 games? Again, like, you know what I'm saying? We're just so conditioned to find the bad. Okay, who's going to get hurt? What, you know, who's going to underperform? How is this going to go badly for us? Because
right.
That's how we've been conditioned all our lives.
Are you the human Eeyore?
Yes. And thanks for noticing me, by the way. Yeah.
But
I'm the baseball Eeyore.
But do other teams, are there any other teams in any sports who have that same kind of, there's all this enthusiasm, and Wendy and I have done the Cubs conventions where even on the years where they had lost 100 games, people went to that convention going, this is going to be their year. But they just lost 100 games. I know, but this will be their year. But then by the same point, you don't want your heart to be broken again.
Right. There are those people. I mean, before opening day on Facebook, I do a funny, like, tell me your favorite team and how many games they're going to win, you know. And you'll see, like, 2 years ago, Cubs 160. Yeah, okay. I think that's reasonable.
Right.
For a team that lost 98 the year before, they're going to lose two games next year.
Mike, it's better to have loved and lost than to never have loved the Cubs at all. Isn't that what the saying is?
And that is how I feel, yes. I have loved all my life and lost. You know, for the most part, I mean, they've been good seasons, but the Cubs are the only team that are measured by whether they win the World Series or not anymore. You know what I mean? Other teams can say, like the Giants won 95 games, they had a good season.
Right.
Because they had a World Series to fall back on. Where the Cubs is like, they didn't win the World Series, they suck.
Do you, you've seen this, I'm sure, in Las Vegas. Las Vegas Odds has the Cubs as the favorite to win the World Series. Just when you see that or hear that, doesn't that make your head jiggle?
Yeah, I don't want to see that, actually, because now there's the target on their back. I like last year when they kind of snuck up on everybody.
Yeah.
And Wayne Newton is also in Las Vegas.
Yes, he is. That's true.
He is favored to win the World Series as well.
Every year he is, and so is Carrot Top.
He is not, in my book, going to win anything.
No. No.
Except a human cat look-alike contest.
He's like, hey, what do you mean? How is Carrot Top favorite to win? He's not even a baseball team.
Doesn't matter.
He's favored to win, though.
He's still favored to win. Do you still do a sleepover at Bert Hooten's house on opening night? You used to do that every year.
Yeah, and we commemorate his no-hitter from 1972. It was like the first week of the season, and we Greg Luzinski does come. He's a good sport.
Oh, yeah.
He struck out to end that game, but he's a good sport. He comes with us and enjoys the sleepover.
You love to hear that.
He brings the Chex Mix.
And, Mike, Wendy and I were discussing the other day, it was Elvis Presley's 100th birthday. And I know what.
No, he was 81. He would have been 81.
Oh,
Frank Sinatra, yeah. Frank Sinatra 100. You got it confused.
I can't. You know how I am with the singers. He's 81. Elvis Presley's 81. So here's the question: we were trying to figure out what Elvis would be doing if he was still alive. What are your thoughts? What would Elvis be up to if he was alive?
That's a good question. You know, I think maybe God. Who can we compare him to at this stage of the game? An 81-year-old guy like who's another entertainer that's 81?
Well, Tony Bennett's probably right around there, isn't he?
Tony Bennett's 90.
Oh, is he 90?
You are so. Your age is.
I don't see age. I'm age blind.
Sure, because you're like an 80-year-old man in a 40-year-old's body.
I don't see age.
Well, Bill had a theory that he would be. What did you say he would be?
We thought maybe he'd be calling bingo numbers at a retirement village somewhere.
Isn't that perfect? All the balls, they're all shook up. Uh-huh.
All right, everybody, be quiet. B7. You're the B7.
This is a full card. If you got a full card, tell Sonny in red, and you will win a prize. Don't you just see him doing
while,
that?
Like after a while, nobody gets their card full. He'll shoot them where the balls are. He'll shoot that machine because he's aggravated with it.
Right.
Bam, somebody win. Bam, bam, bam.
There, you won. Bingo. Bingo, what's his name? Oh.
I just saw his granddaughter. I was telling Wendy, I saw this movie Mad Max last night, the new Mad Max, and his granddaughter, Riley, is in that movie. That was weird.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Is she good?
Yeah, she was really good. She got the same sneer. You know that sneer that Elvis had if he was, happy or sad or tired or angry or whatever he was? He had that sneer.
Or sleeping.
Yeah, or sleeping.
Yeah. Or dead, whatever. He always had that, yes. Man, that picture in the Inquirer. Why is he sneering now? He's dead.
Right.
That's disrespectful to the king.
No,
guys.
I understand it. I get it. I totally get it.
That's how you knew it wasn't him, because they put a sneer on the next figure that they placed in that coffin so that the real Elvis could go off and call bingo numbers
right.
In Florida.
Right.
In Florida.
God, he'd be so good.
Florida.
Yes.
I am blowing the cover off it. It's Boca Raton, Florida.
That's where you can find him. Mike, we're looking forward to these dates at Zanies, whatever they are. It might be the 14th, the 15th, and the 16th. It could be more. It could be less. We don't know. But if you haven't seen Mike do stand-up, you need to see him. He's the best Chicago's ever produced. I mean it.
That's nice.
You are. And continued success on the WGN Morning News. Boy, every time I see it, it makes me laugh so hard. It's really great.
Well, thank you. And you guys keep up the good work yourselves.
Thanks, Mike.
I can't believe that WGN Morning News, the WGN TV Morning News, is still on, because it is the most in a good way.
This
no,
is
listen,
a compliment.
It is the most impromptu. It is the funniest. It is the most fun to watch. Yet the most informative news program of anything I've ever seen, and I'm so glad that it has snuck by because I'm shocked that it's still on. You guys paved the way for a great morning show.
That's so nice of you to say. I mean, to me, it's the best combination of luck and skill, because they have such skilled people, but lucky to find them all and have them gel the way they do. I mean,
you look at
Larry and Robin and Paul. I mean, they're all so great that you could build any show around any one of them, you know, and then you put them together, and also Pat, you know, it's just like the craziest group of like talented funny people.
Right.
And add you and Jeff Hoover in there, Dean Richards.
Dean,
what did Robin just win? Didn't she just win like best female morning broadcaster or television? What was her?
Best everything. It was one of these radio or internet. It was a website, and it named her the best, like the best news person. Like,
how about that?
Which I, you know, would not disagree with.
No, in fact, we should get her on to congratulate
her.
Tell her we're proud of her.
And I know, I guess it's common knowledge, Pat Tomasulo had the problem with starting fires, and he seems to be doing a lot better with that, doesn't he?
He's a little better at
it. He's getting a little better. All right. Well, that's good news.
We had to douse a little something last week.
There's always going to be, there's going to be accidents. No one's perfect.
Well, the kid plays with matches, and, you know, you're only going to get burned.
That's so true, Mike. That's very true. Mike Toomey is at Zanies in St. Charles, the 14th, 15th, and 16th. Go to zanies.com. And then, Mike, it says here you also have a website.
I'm working on it. It's under construction.
All right.
Under 404.
You're under construction.
Yeah.
You showed us.
That's right. Mike, thanks so much. Drive safely, would you?
I will. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Mike. Love him.
That's Mike Toomey from the WGN-TV Morning News. And he is. If you see stand-up comedy here in town and you don't see Mike, something's wrong. He's really, really great. All right, a quick break and then more show coming your way. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, we have some ideas of what Elvis would be doing if he was still around today.
He'd be angry that he was buried.
Okay.
He'd be furious.
630, way to steal the thunder, Bill.
Oh, did they say that same thing?
If still alive, Elvis would be fighting like hell to get out of that box.
Somebody let me out. Who put me in this box? Sonny Red, get me out.
And compared to Jerry Lee Lewis... Because we were trying to figure out who is of his age. That is Jerry Lee Lewis still around?
Jerry Lee Lewis, I'm afraid to guess now.
Oh, boy.
But he was older
than
Elvis.
Well, if he wasn't, he will be shortly.
Thanks, Steve, for that reminder. Yeah, I guess. It's a game of averages, isn't it?
You know, I still feel guilty on Friday that I mentioned the Elephant Man. And then David Bowie passed away.
Yes.
And then, I'm sorry, I didn't hear this because once I got off the air yesterday, I didn't really do a bunch of research on David Bowie. And I got home, and my son Michael said that the first track on that Black Star album is kind of saying I'm here in heaven or something.
There's a couple of references all throughout the album, I guess, to the fact that the sands of time are quickly dwindling.
Well, I mean, he knew he was ill for a year and a half, right? And they, I mean, I wonder... if this was always scheduled to come out on Friday or if they timed it that way.
Yeah.
Well, because his birthday and the release was Friday and then he died on Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean, it really would have been, if he's really planning it, he should have gone out on
Friday.
All
on the same day?
Yeah.
That's a busy day.
Really? You're correcting him now?
No, but I'm just saying, how much can you really plan? I mean, he did want to say goodbye and what a way to do it.
Right.
But would you want to know 18 months in advance? I'd rather just have the good Lord take me. Not now, God. I want to finish the show.
Not right now. Let's wait till the show's over.
Not with what she's wearing today.
Really?
Did you see how
I'm not dressing up for heaven.
No,
can
you
I tell you
don't
that?
Need to dress for heaven.
That's an Eric Clapton song, I think.
It is.
Tears in heaven.
It is. Did you see how his sales on various music services yesterday skyrocketed like crazy?
Adele was furious.
Yes, she was.
You know, when you think about it, because Michael, my son, said to me, hey, can I get a record? I go, which one? And he said, well, you know, I don't really have Ziggy Stardust in its entirety on. I said, yeah, whatever. It's David Bowie. I said, didn't I get you a debit card?
He's smarter than that. He knows he can juice another album out of you. That's pretty smart.
He also knows how to save my account number on his iTunes account.
Yep,
he does. Kids today.
All right, a quick break. I'll find out why my voice just changed, and then we'll come back and finish the show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Well, looky here. Look who's back. He's David Hochberg from Pearl Mortgage, P-E-R-L. I thought we were going to use Excitable Boy when we forget. You get very excited when you're talking about mortgages and helping people.
It's passion.
It is.
It's unbridled passion.
It's unbridled passion.
You can't bridle his passion.
No, and if you do, I'll break you in half.
And who would want to bridle it?
Don't touch my passion.
You can't bottle it. You can't bridle it.
Can I tell you something I've learned from you, David Hochberg?
How to dress?
Pardon?
How to dress?
Yes.
How to dress?
Yep.
You taught me that? Have you looked in the mirror?
I got the whole gangster thing going.
It's like being at the set of Right Out of Compton here.
Exactly.
It's right out of Brookfield.
Right.
Because if so, I have a hat on today.
Looking good, baby.
All right. Anyway, I was going to compliment
you.
Now
you
I'm not
from
going
David?
To. I was credit challenged for a while.
Yeah.
I'm all shook up about it.
Sure.
I was credit challenged, and there was something that I didn't think of I mean, once you explained it to me, I'm like, I guess you could do that. I have been paying off a little on my Discover card every Friday.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, you can find your FICO scores right there.
How dramatic of an improvement has that made in your
scores? In the last 3 months, it's gone up considerably.
Yeah. Just that little, it's the little things, right?
Because the no activity is what's bad.
And carrying large balances is what's bad.
It's not that large anymore, but still, just paying some every Friday, even, you know, every other Friday, it's a little more than the other, but sometimes I'll even just throw $50 on there, and with these online things, you can do it.
Your credit scores go up. It has to do with credit utilization. And that is why John DeCoss and I'm helping John, and we talked about this on Steve's show. I'm not airing John's dirty laundry. John came in.
He's okay with that, by the
way. He's okay, right. Yeah, he came in with his wife in October. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I met John in the green room and everything else. Like, and, you know, I like to refinance, and I pulled his credit, and he was severely credit challenged. And he had no idea. And he's like, what do you mean I'm severely credit challenged? And I pointed out four or five things. I'm like, credit card balances are this. You've got a couple of collections that he didn't even know about.
Have some that I might not know about, too.
And these are the things that he has to address, and he is addressing. And his credit scores, just by doing what we've done in the short period of time that we've been working with him, he's gotten all of the collections taken off, all of the inaccurate information that was reporting there.
Very good.
How can that be, though? Because it says that some of mine are in collection. They're not. I don't have anything.
Because the collection agencies don't report to the credit bureaus that you've satisfied those collections. And what happens is, until the information is updated, you are getting dinged on your credit report. He is up, in his own words, close to 100 points in under 60 days working with me, because he's done these little things. We've done a lot of little things. Mm-hmm. And that is why, when I met with him and his wife, he's like, why don't they, is there any place to learn about this? And I said, you know what, John? We're going to have a special opportunity. Okay, a special opportunity. At the beginning of the year, I'm going to launch something to open it up to everybody. To help them educate the listeners on how to enhance their credit so they could refinance and purchase a new home.
Because no one knows this stuff.
There's no place to learn this except when you listen when I'm on the radio. Okay, so it's very simple. You will be teamed with one of my professionally trained licensed loan officers. Mm-hmm. We will help you for free. Mm-hmm. Okay, they will be your personal trainer on your credit. And we will work with you from the end of January. Registration ends January 22nd. It's a week from this Friday. Mm-hmm. Okay. All you have to do to register, it's free. Go to WGNDavid.com, click on register. Mm-hmm. It'll take you to a landing page, and you fill it in. On the week of the 23rd is a Friday, 24th, 25th, the week of the 26th, I will assign you to one of my loan officers who will work with you and help you walk you through your credit report. Wendy, how difficult is a credit report if you've never seen it before?
I don't know anything about it. I can't even tell you. I'm looking at the Discover credit report going, what?
It's overwhelming.
Sure.
So we will hold your hand. We will explain, like I did with John and Jackie, John DeCoss and Jackie. Mm-hmm. I'll explain to you what you have to do. My trained loan officer will explain to you what you have to do. If you do everything we tell you to do, your credit scores will go up.
Right.
Okay.
And fairly quickly. It's not really...
It's like taking the fried chicken out of somebody's hands and replacing it with a bowl of raw vegetables, okay? If you stop eating fried foods and replace it with vegetables, your cholesterol will go down and your weight will go down and you'll feel better.
Your pressure will go up.
No, just by listening to me. It's simple techniques here, okay?
I had you in the office pool of going crazy 9 minutes in. I missed it by 30 seconds.
That's the under.
I just missed it by 30 seconds. And this needs to be said, and I know you'll agree with me on this. If you have debts to pay off, and one of them is your credit card, and one of them is your house, and one of them is your car, and one of them is whatever, you want to pay your credit card debt off, because more than likely that's the highest interest rate.
But you got to pay your mortgage first. Without a doubt,
you have to pay that off. But if, let's say, you have a couple of extra bucks to spend,
you pay
on
your
one
credit
of those,
cards down.
Credit card is going to be a much higher rate.
I'll give you a perfect example. Guy calls me up, who I've done his loans before years and years and years. He calls me up out of the blue. He's like, hey. You know, you did such a great job 2 years ago. I want to refinance. So, okay, great. He's like, but I've got $60,000 worth of credit cards. I'm like, okay, How much money do you have in the bank? $50,000. I'm like, you have $50,000 in the bank and you've got $60,000
worth of
credit
card. No one wants to take that money in the bank and put that big lump sum on the credit card.
But look
Nobody
at the money
feels
you save
right.
over a long span of time.
$60,000 worth of credit cards with a 4% minimum payment because they changed the credit card rules is $2,400 a month. $2,400 a month is the equivalent of a $450,000 mortgage.
Right.
So what I told them was, I'm like, take the 50 grand that's sitting in the bank account that all these big banks love you because you're earning one half of 1% on that money, pay off your credit cards, knock it down,
right?
Run with $10,000 with the credit cards, the minimum payment on that's $400. Mm-hmm. Okay, then just continue to pay the minimums. You'll have it paid off in 2 months, 3-4 months.
Kevin, can we get a towel from Mr. Huffer, please? A small towel.
You know, these are the little things that we will educate.
All right,
for,
can he confirm where to sign up, please?
WGN David. That's WGN David, DAVID.com. All you have to do, everybody that goes there wins, okay? You lose if you don't go there, okay? If you're having trouble refinancing or purchasing a home and you want to get out of your 6, 7, 8, and 9% loans, I got guys at 9% we're helping. Believe it or not, I got a guy at 7.5% right now in Rockford. We just got a couple of tax liens off because of the trick I talked about on the radio a couple of months ago. If your cumulative tax liens are under, that you owe on the IRS are under $25,000 and you've been on a payment plan, the IRS will remove it from your credit report. I just got that done. I'm waiting for I'm going to get the new credit scores today. I'm waiting. He was at 550, 560, and 540. I'm dying to see what those credit, how high the credit scores go by removing those IRS tax liens. These are little tricks that we know.
Right.
And no one else knows them. I'm sorry. You ask your parents, they don't know.
They don't know.
You ask friends, they don't know.
We've teamed up with First Midwest Bank with, Believer loans and CD loans and different strategies to get your credit back. We got to take a quick break. So, you know, I'll talk about it after the break, but
there's a true professional.
Somebody wants us to give you a joint to calm down.
Oh. I'm working on one already. So you got to give me something stronger than that. Take a break.
David.
I've never smoked. My mom's listening. I swear, I've never smoked a joint in my life.
We know you found out you just got glaucoma. Wink, wink, wink. Exactly. We understand how that works, David. David Hochberg is here. WGNDavid.com is his website. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. That makes sense.
Much better.
David Hochberg, he's our excitable boy. You can go to WGNDavid.com to contact him. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and some texts here that I want to share. 815, I followed many of the suggestions I've heard from David on WGN over the last 2 years and have improved my credit score to the tune of 250 points. Thanks,
That's
David.
Great. Oh, thank you. That's phenomenal.
That's pretty good.
That's great. That's outstanding.
Then somebody, okay, her name's Wendy. I'll be honest with you. I had some medical bills that were up there a little bit, and I always wait. I know I'm not the only one. You wait maybe too long because you wait to see what the insurance company's going to pick up.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you know, it says that I have some derogatory public record or collection filed.
Right.
They have been paid off. But it doesn't represent that on what my Discover card is saying. So where do I get a credit report that's not going to knock me out of the running when I apply for a loan to get a new car?
You could go to annualcreditreport.com. You got to be careful how you spell it, because if you spell it wrong, you go to a really wicked website.
Interesting.
It's annualcreditreport.com.
Yeah, put the U in there.
Yeah, it's two N's, or else, you know, watch the kids.
Right.
You go to annualcreditreport.com. You could get your credit report run from, stop smiling at me like that. You could get your credit report run. This is what I recommend. You do it every 4 months because there's three credit agencies, Equifax, Experian, TransUnion. Mm-hmm. Each one of them by law has to give you a free copy of your credit report every single year. So if you set it up like January 1st, you pull TransUnion. Mm-hmm. May 1st, you pull Experian, and in August, September, you pull Equifax. That way you've got a full spectrum of all three of what are reporting. Now, sometimes, unfortunately, some collection companies report to TransUnion and not to Experian and Equifax. And then the other way around. Some report to Equifax and not to TransUnion and Experian. It's frustrating.
Do they report then when you've paid it off?
Some do and some don't. That's the problem.
Oh, that's not fair.
It sure isn't.
It's so wrong in so many different ways. It's disgusting. But this is what's killing people's credit reports, and people don't even know it's there. John DeCasse talked about it. He didn't even know he had these collections. Okay, a couple other people that advertise on this radio station that work here that I've helped had no idea that they had collection. They're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
So it was like a $50 or $100 thing, you know. So
a $50 Kohl's bill took my credit down. How about that? I didn't even know I had it.
I'll give you one better. One of your employees here gave their car to their kids.
Yeah.
They park in front of a fire plug, gets a $50 ticket, goes to collection, or little Johnny and Sally are rolling through red lights and they're getting red light tickets are being sent to the house that Johnny and Sally are taking before mommy gets home or daddy gets home, goes on mom and dad's, credit report as a collection because the little Johnny and Sally who was rolling through the red lights doesn't want mom and dad to get upset because there's a collection. You know, God forbid they pay the $100 ticket. Or the $50 ticket, they blow that off too.
I might be guilty of that too. Well, I didn't know that tickets go on your.
Oh yeah,
like a don't have your proper license plate sticker.
If you get it, sometimes you know these red light cameras, they send you a citation. You don't pay them. The town sell them off to collection companies for pennies on the dollar because they just want the revenue. Okay, and then the collection companies. Okay, so there's another 25 to 50 points off your credit report. So these
that
are,
much?
Yes. Okay.
Good golly, Bill left.
That's not fair.
These are the little things. That's why Bill's got a chauffeur, right?
Right.
That's why.
That's the only reason.
His chauffeur blows through the red lights like the mayor, and he doesn't have to worry about the tickets in his car.
I got a vinyl standard from Heart to Heart. He's driving me around now.
Yeah, but it's a tandem bike, and it's very cold today.
All right.
Still works.
True.
But
so annualcreditreport.com, get Equifax, get Experian, get TransUnion, and do it.
Every 4 months. Stagger it. And if you're concerned about it, then run them all right now, if you haven't done it in a while, just to get a full blanket of what it is. Mm-hmm. And then starting next year, one in January, one in May, one in September, and stagger then you got them. The full, and then just stagger them. But again, these are the tips we're going to give you to help you enhance your credit. Listen, property values are back. Thank God. Over the past 7 years, property values are pretty much back in this area.
Yeah.
Now what we have to do is we fix the property value problem. Now let's fix your credit scores and enhance your credit so we can help you take advantage of these low rates before they skyrocket. We're not a credit fixer company. We are an advice company. We're giving you information on what to do to enhance your credit. It's up to you to do it. We will follow up once a month, twice a month, whatever you want. We're not going to chase you, okay? But we will be your credit coach in order to enhance your credit so you can refinance or purchase a home.
I have a question, but I don't want you to get upset or have a heart attack.
I'm fine. Right. I'm fine.
You just said, I know, I should have prefaced this 20 minutes ago. You just said we want to help you before these interest rates skyrocket. Realistically, do you think they will skyrocket or will they just go up a point?
No, listen, if I was that smart and all due respect, I wouldn't be here at 15 below freezing my tchotchkes off. I'd be on a boat making daiquiris, all right? You know, and I call this interview.
Sure.
I don't know where rates are going to go. Listen, we're one terrorist attack, God forbid, right? You know, from the market crank, you know.
Are you fear-mongering, crash? David
I'm
Hopper?
Not fear-mongering.
No fear-mongering.
You saw the
sign under the Allstate Showcase Studio.
No fear-mongering in 16. I understand. Right. In 15, it was okay. This is a new year.
It's a new year.
I don't know where rates are going. Again, if I was that smart, and all due respect, okay, I'm on a boat calling this interview in, all right? I'm not freezing my rear end off here, all right? I'm not that smart.
Say tchotchkes again.
Tchotchkes, right? Part. Whatever they are, all right? But, you know, and they're smaller today because they're so damn cold out. But
Tony loves tchotchkes.
Okay, you know, with a little butter on them, they're delicious.
Shut up. You can't keep it going.
Okay, sorry. So
Will you teach them something, Bill?
No, I can't.
I don't know where rates are going,
right?
Okay, but all I know is today,
they're
pretty damn good.
They're low.
Okay, it's better than your 7 or 8 that you're in now.
Right.
It's better than your 6.5.
Right.
It's better than my guy in Rockford at 5, 7.5 that we did that IRS technique that
True.
I told everybody about to get him out of.
Yep.
So these are the things that we will go. It's very simple. It's the best 4-letter word in the English language that starts with an F. Free. Okay.
Right.
It's free to read. It's a special offer. It's free to everybody out there to enhance their credit, to refinance or purchase. We will help you.
All right.
WGNDavid.com.
As riled as he gets, I will tell you the honest to God truth. You're the only guy I trust to help me out of credit hell.
You're a saint, David. If you don't become a saint, after you die, something's wrong.
I got to call him the Vatican.
Right. He gives you honest answers. If he can't help you, he will tell you he can't help you. And there are people that need to know, again, how do you register because they can't find the information on
your WGNDavid.com. You go to WGNDavid.com. It takes you to my landing page at Pearl Mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a button there that says register.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's under the biggest winner contest. It's not a contest, it's a special offer, right? But it's a special offer. Got to be careful with legal here. It's a special offer. Go there, register, or just call me and I'll register you for you.
What's the number?
312-751 1333, 312-751, 1333. There is no monetary value on this. The biggest value is the knowledge that we're giving you so you could correct yourself and live a healthier credit life. Because when you go to buy the car, you don't want the 18% credit, you know,
right.
You don't want the 18% interest rate car loan. You want the 0.9% with the, you know, negative 18 font that you can't read because you've got 700 credit scores now instead of 500 credit scores.
Correct yourself before you wreck yourself. Isn't that what we say in the business?
Yes.
There is no register page on your page.
If you click, it says click here. It says click here. Underneath the logo, it says...
Underneath the logo of David in front of the American flag.
Yeah. It says the biggest winner contest. It's not a contest for legal reasons.
Oh, for information about the contest, click here?
Click here. Right.
Well, it's not a contest, I thought.
It's not a contest here on WGN because legal and everything else.
Oh, right. It's crazy.
It's a special offer.
But in other countries, in third world countries, it's
a contest.
But here in the States...
It's a special offer.
We got it.
Okay, and you just go... I want to help people. I want to help people.
You do.
Start 16 off on the right foot. You're a perfect example of how I've helped. Andrea's talked about it. John DeCosta has talked about it. You know, I'm
Bill
here
is better
people.
Than us, so you didn't
no,
have to
it's
help
not,
him.
No, I helped Bill.
You did help me.
I gave him advice. I educated him on what to do. And
he said, go play the ponies.
Yes.
I go, what is that? What kind of advice is that?
Right. Green. You know, you could do red, black, or green on roulette. Right. And I said,
green is the way to go.
I said, way to go.
WGNDavid.com. Scroll down. Hit the click here. You can also call him where?
312-751-1333. 16 is going to be a great year. Interest rates up, interest rates down. Who cares? Let's get you out of those crappy rates and get you into something better and get your credit finally on solid ground so you can move forward.
Perfect.
Can we get an amen to that?
Amen. Hallelujah, brother.
Yes, absolutely. That's David Hochberg. Thank you, David. Great to see you. A quick break, some news, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Thrilled that you're listening. 312-981-7200 is our phone number and our text line. We had David Hochberg in just a little while ago.
I didn't notice. He was so quiet I could barely hear him.
He's like a little mouse. It's like having a little mouse in the room.
If you give a mouse a giant cookie, he'll help refinance it for you.
Now, he said something that scared me. If I can be honest, he said everything that scared me. But one thing in particular stands out. He was talking about how if you have a speeding ticket on your record and you don't pay it off, it'll affect your credit score. Let me tell you a little story and give me your thoughts on this. When I was in California last month with Kylie to look at schools, we were on a street near Pasadena, and the street then became the highway. We needed to take the highway, so we were on a regular street, and we needed to take the highway. So we come off to this
freeway there.
Yeah, they call it the freeway. You're right. So we come off on this this ramp that all of a sudden, with no warning at all, says exact change or California something pass only. There's nobody there at the toll booth.
I didn't have
$1.40 with me. I had singles, but I didn't have $1.40 in change, and I don't have a California whatever pass.
They have those here, Bill.
They have what here?
That type of toll.
Oh, I know they do, but
So you can call a number or something? Was there a number to call?
No.
You didn't look.
I don't remember seeing one.
That's crazy.
Be
it's
honest.
Crazy.
That was really sweet. Can I just tell you that was really cute?
I don't remember seeing one.
Was there a sign somewhere to call? No.
No. Then, here's what happened next. No,
all right. You didn't pay.
I didn't pay.
A rental car?
Yeah, so I figured in my head, what, are they going to come to Chicago and arrest me because I didn't pay $1.40 on the Pasadena freeway?
No, but let me guess.
Although it says freeway, and it's not free, is it? I just realized.
There's your case.
Problem
get
solved.
Get Rich Lankoff.
I'll get Rich Lankoff to represent me on this, and I'll sue them, too.
So I bet they called, they took a picture or whatever of the plate that was registered to the rental car company, and they sold you out.
Obviously. And that's, I always tell you, when I have a rental car, I wear a disguise. So I thought...
You should disguise the license plate.
Yeah, now
put
I'm
a mustache
start.
On the head. That's very popular these days.
The people over at Hertz are like, some old prospector was driving our Fiera. What happened? So I, like, for the last couple of days, my wife said, well, you got to pay this ticket. And now it's not $1.40 anymore. It's $80. And
I'm like,
I'm not going to pay that. They trapped me. I had to take that highway. I had to. And there was no warning at all. I'm on the highway and they go, oh, by the way, you either have $1.40 in change or a California card. And I don't. So that I shouldn't be held responsible.
Well, yes, you should. But I did the same thing. I parked. I went to see a movie at some theater. I was parked in the lot.
Yeah.
And when I came back, the cop was writing the ticket, and I said, what's wrong? He goes, oh yeah, your vehicle sticker on your license plate expired, over a month ago. Oh. And I said, oh my God, really? I didn't get around to it yet. I really didn't. And, I said, do you really have to give me a ticket? And he goes, yeah, I'm afraid I do. And it was $80. And I just like, screw that. I'm not paying it. And now it's $150.
But now it'll, yeah.
And now I'm getting hits on my credit.
That's not right.
You are too.
I guess I am. And that's not, is that fair?
The toll thing is crazy to me because they don't give you a reasonable way to pay.
Exactly.
You shouldn't have to be driving by, write down a phone number or a website, and then later go to it.
It's unsafe.
No, do you have a purse dog? Friend. Put your dog in the basket. That'll count.
I didn't see a sign that said, hey, if you miss this toll, call this number.
But even if you did, you don't have time to write that number down.
It would have made me drive. I would have been an unsafe driver because I would have been trying to write it down.
I like your
and
style.
Driving.
Good
and
defense.
I could have killed a family or something, and I don't want to do that.
I might have more bad news from you via Leah. Hi,
oh,
Leah.
No.
Hi, fear not, your 740 credit score is fine. Happens all the time. We rent cars a lot.
Yeah.
And what will happen is whatever you use to pay your rental car with,
yeah,
you're going to get the ticket. It's like $10. They're going to pay it. They will send
no,
you.
No, no, no. He got it in the mail.
It's $80 for
me. Didn't
mail.
You get it in the mail?
Yeah, in the mail. Yeah.
Well, that shouldn't be because your rental car should have paid for it. You need to pay it now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Pony up. Yeah.
Boy, Leah's like, oh, don't worry about it. The rental car company is only $10, and now you need to pony up
we
and pay
that,
it.
Like, we do it like 3 times a year. We always get a receipt.
Do you? Okay.
In mail that says, yeah, we paid that for you.
Which car company is it, Leah? Can I ask?
Avis.
It's Avis. Okay. All right.
All right.
Thank you, Leah.
Thank you so much. My wife said, she goes, I think rental car companies have, I always call it a transponder and then everybody makes fun of me, but it is called a transponder. It's that little device that lets you go through tolls. She goes, I'm surprised the rental car company didn't just leave one in the car, but they're not in the business of doing that. They're not going to pay your tolls for you, are they?
They should. You mean
although,
an iPass?
Yeah, like an iPass. But they could, like Leah just said, let's say they had a temporary one. They could just block it so that it's only used on those days for whoever has the car, couldn't they? Couldn't they specialize
it? Who wants
it?
To take all the time to go it's online and block it?
Yeah.
Mike, Bill's in trouble, isn't he?
Yes. Hi, Bill. Hi, Wendy.
Hi.
Listen, this happened to me in Colorado. Rented the car at the airport. Went through the iPass, but I didn't have one. Didn't rent one. Stupid me. And I got a letter like you from the Colorado Secretary of State. And,
oh, they're high. They won't even remember sending it.
Yeah. My fine doubled. It went to like $250. I didn't pay it.
Yeah.
And about 6 weeks later, I got a letter from the Illinois Secretary of State that if I didn't pay this fine, they were going to suspend my license.
What? Really?
So, yep. I'm telling you, Bill, you got to pay it.
Oh, that's crazy.
Now, Wendy, I wouldn't lie to this guy. I'm an old Kev head, so I know what I'm talking about.
Kevin Matthews, a fine man. Yeah. I
met you on Murphy's Rooftop when you guys did a radio show there years ago.
I'm still alive.
Wendy, you remember, right?
Yeah, I do.
Wendy remembers.
I do. Thank you, Mike. Good advice.
All right, you guys. Take care.
But what are you, goofy?
Couldn't my argument be you have to supply a little more warning other than I'm on a ramp and all of a sudden there's a sign saying you have two options to pay and I can't pay. I don't have that much change on me.
Who are you going to tell this to?
A judge of some sort.
You're going to
Judge Reinhold? Somebody? I don't
know.
You're
going to go back to California to fight this?
Well, that's what I'm saying is they wouldn't come all the way out
yes,
here.
Well, no. They'll just put a lien on your car and I don't mean lien on it. Kim, what can he do?
Hi, I rent cars all the time for work. In fact, I'm on the Indiana toll road right now. And at Enterprise, for one day, you can rent an iPass for $6.99 a day.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Why can't you bring your own? I could bring my own.
You can.
Why?
Because it's only reciprocal with certain states. There's only a couple states that will accept the Illinois toll transponder.
Oh, okay. So if you're in California and you say you go to an Enterprise, you can say, rent me a California transponder?
I guess. I've only used it up here, but the Illinois transponder is good for Indiana and also for West Virginia, just in case anyone is driving to West Virginia.
Good to know. That's a weird combo.
Wendy always says, let's have lunch in Wheeling. And I'm like, I don't know. It's a long drive. But all right, I'll go.
West Virginia?
Yeah.
All right,
Mountain
cool.
Mama.
Thank you.
I was thinking the northwest suburbs of Bill.
No, Wendy means the one in West Virginia. So that's the one we'll go to.
All right, well, we're in
crazy.
Trouble.
I don't. If you rent a transponder for $6.95 a day, that's $35 a week, just for like one or two tolls. I had one toll the whole time I was in California. That's not worth it.
There's, you know what? I hope you've learned your lesson to carry a big old baggie full of change.
I'm going
to
do that from now on.
Isn't that the name of your new book?
Baggie full of change.
Big old baggie.
Big old baggie full of change. Yeah. That's why I've told you in the past, I've paid with pennies at toll booth
passes. You do
that
just to be annoying.
Partially, yes, and then partially to get rid of a lot of pennies.
Yeah, I hear you.
So I'll give
all
them
the dirty pennies that you stick in the door jam.
They love that.
It's so dirty because, you know, just dust and dirt in your car, and they
right.
sit there forever. I hate doing that, like, in a drive-up window. It's like 37 cents, so I pull out, like, these really filthy quarter, nickel, dime, and two pennies.
Yep.
I feel embarrassed giving it to them, but money's money.
It works. All right, we'll take a quick break and then solve more problems. We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right, we're trying to figure out what I should do in a case like this. I was in California with my daughter Kylie. We were looking at colleges. We got on a ramp that all of a sudden was taking us to the Pasadena Highway. I can't say freeway because if there's a toll, it's a tollway. It's not a freeway anymore. So there was a sign that said you either had to use exact change, it was like $1.40, or you had to have a California something pass. And I don't have one, and I didn't have that kind of change. We got a bill in the mail for it. We got a ticket in the mail, and I said to my wife, throw it away. California doesn't care. They're not going to come after me.
Well, here's the thing that I guess you should have thought of. Larry, let me guess what happened. You had the same problem. You came home, and you Googled missed toll on California freeway and figured out how to pay it.
Actually, what happened was after I got back from my trip to California, about 2-3 weeks later, I received a letter in the mail from the state of California through Avis, who I was renting my car from, and they said I missed, I think it was, I can't remember how many tolls it was. It came to a total of about $16-17, and they gave me a website, and I had, I think it was 10 days after receipt of the letter and acknowledging it to pay this online, and I just went online, and I paid, had the ticket number, the citation number, and paid it, and Didn't have any other issues.
No penalties, no tickets. You just paid the actual price of the toll. That's all there was?
That's all there was, yeah. I mean, it was a rental car, and the bills came back to Avis, and Avis took them because I had my license, my driver's license registered for the rental car.
Yeah.
And they sent it back to me with just the penalties because I was from out of state, and I did not have those transponders that they have in California.
Ah.
Nor, and plus, I was in the like the I-Pass lanes like we have here in Chicago where there weren't any, you know, tolls that I can throw money at.
Right, right.
And after a while, I just thought, well, what am I going to do? I mean, I'm going to owe them. I'm either going to owe them to Avis right now when I turn the car in, or they're going to bill me. And indeed, they did bill me.
Interesting. Okay, good.
Well, thank you.
You might have an opportunity if you go online and to appeal that to say, hey, you know, I just got this letter. I want to pay the toll. But the fine is a little bit overzealous.
I would think.
That's
okay.
What someone suggested, calling, you know, the number on the ticket.
And see if we can Absolutely. Figure out a deal that way. Larry, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Good advice.
Hey, guys.
Am I a fugitive? I bet I'm a fugitive, aren't I? I think I qualify as a fugitive.
That's exciting.
That is pretty cool.
Bill, did it occur to you to try and overpay with two $1 bills? It wasn't accepting of bills, right?
It wouldn't take bills. It would only take coins.
Well, then tell them you put two bills in there and they must have blown away.
No, because there's cameras everywhere, you know? So I can't, like in my head, I'm thinking up different scenarios I could tell them, but then they would go to the tape and look and they would just see me blowing past and flipping off the camera. And that doesn't look good.
Whose lame job is it to watch the tape of people going through tollway booths?
How boring would that be?
Oh my God.
All day, every day.
I could be watching Making a Murderer. No, I'm just going to watch this guy lie about putting $2 bills and they flew away.
I know.
He's not putting anything in there. He put a gum wrapper.
Right.
Look at this guy.
I know.
Bill, did it occur to you to maybe just rent a transponder? How is it not worth renting a transponder to save an $80 ticket?
All right. I didn't even know you could rent a transponder until 4 minutes ago. I had no idea that was an option. But even if I knew that, I didn't think, because I've spent a lot of time in California, and I didn't remember any of the places I was going to having tolls. So why spend an extra $35 or $40?
Bob, iPass works in other states, but not California.
I don't know, but I went all the way from Illinois here all the way to New York, and it worked all the way there to New York.
Wait, so. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you haven't gotten a bill yet in the mail.
Yeah. Well, that was over a year and a half ago.
And everything worked out. You didn't get any kind of bills or anything like that.
Nope.
Saying, really? Because
nope.
I was under the belief.
I was in my own car. But,
I thought our transponders only worked with a handful of other states, including West Virginia, we found out earlier. I didn't think you could go all the way to New York.
Yeah, I went to Niagara Falls, and it worked all the way to there.
Wow. All right. Well, thank you for that.
If I remember right, I actually went on the Illinois Tollway, the iSponder site, and it said that where it works.
All right. Well, we will look into that. I appreciate that, Bob.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. It's
Happy
usually transponder, but on a day like this, it's an iSponder. Because it's cold outside. They change the name when the weather gets inclement.
Yeah, I would just tell them New York Easy Pass. I have taken dollar bills out of the tollway basket. Who in the hell would put paper money in a tollway basket? Really? Come on.
So I now have to travel with a duffel bag with transponders from all 50 states in Canada just in case. that'll be fun. I'm sure they'll let me through customs with that.
I don't understand this. Okay, Pinhead, did it occur to you?
That's Mr. Pinhead to you.
I don't know if you or I are the Pinhead.
No, it's probably me.
Okay, Pinhead, did it occur? It's just cracking me up. Did it occur to you to only look at the video when someone doesn't pay?
Why else would they look at the video unless they were reviewing a tape of somebody like me claiming to have put money in when I didn't?
Because evidently this Pinhead just likes to watch people driving through. That is not exciting to me.
No,
going,
it's
boring. That's a nice car that I'll never have.
Right.
Oh, that's an even nicer car.
Yeah, who would volunteer for that job? Nobody.
Is that Rip Taylor? That's what somebody would say in a convertible.
I know.
Pinhead.
All right, Mr. Pinhead, come on. All right.
Can I tell you, tomorrow we're going to talk to Kristen McQuarrie from the Chicago Tribune. She's going to be on at 11:30 because tonight, State of the Union address.
Right.
Barack Obama's last one. And a friend of ours is going to be in attendance. Tim Ryan, who's been on the show, A Man in Recovery Foundation. He helps people get unaddicted to heroin, if that's possible.
Are they going to in some way recognize him? Do we know if
he is going as a guest of Congressman Bill Foster? But pretty exciting to be going to the White House to see the Barack Obama's the final countdown.
It's the final countdown.
I hope that band is there. Wouldn't that be awesome? What's the name of that band? Europe?
Yeah, it's Europe. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be fun. Well, Tim Ryan's in for a good time, and tomorrow we'll talk to Kristen McQuarrie all about the State of the Union address. Will you be watching?
Yes, I want to see it tonight.
I'm going to watch it.
Ro and Ann are in just a moment. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.